It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for a brand new broadcast week of progressive, independent radio. Hillbilly style, horn style. HeadOn.live is where you will find us on the interweb tube. If you go there and click on podcast, for instance, you'll find all your podcasting needs met for getting the latest iteration of the program. Also there at HeadOn.live, of course, you can see my Twitter feed pops up there. And among other things, the chat room tab, which will take you immediately, once you pick out a screen name and a password, to the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time, and 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Early arrivers in the chat room are Anatole and Squeaky, more to follow. Capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although a third-stage guild navigator, has decided to, keep it home today and not fold space. It even rained there where Sparky is, which is pretty good considering the fires that are burning off to the west of him. Also, you will be moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Yeah, see, so hail, the gang's all here. And we'll get the conversation going in just short order, but every program here at the Horn begins with thanks, and we have thanks to give out to our subscribers over the past weekend. We go back to the 14th and send thank yous out to Matt in San Francisco and to Ralphs in Wisconsin. Thanks to Robert in California and Darlene in Connecticut. Thank you to Brock. Thank you to Timothy. Thank you to an entirely different Timothy. Thank you to Glenn in New York. And thank you to our buddy Reinhard over on the Virginia coast. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program and making it possible for us to have about a quarter of our monthly fundraising goals and needs met in any given month. Remember, between now and the 20th, that means 5 days, between now and the 20th, there is a challenge for new subscribers on the table, courtesy of Ralphs. Ralphs will double your subscription up to, 5 people, 5 $10 subscribers. And it's a great way to double your money. You know, you kick in for 10 and it turns into 20. So thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very kindly for making that challenge. Hopefully people will take advantage of it. So it's More and Monday. It is the 16th of September, 2019. Summer 2019 is officially dead. Calendrically dead. I'm sure it's still blazing hot in another number of parts of the country, but there's no getting around the fact that the Earth has tilted on its axis again, and we are heading downhill toward darker days. which is kind of fitting in light of the fact that, well, you know, nitwit Nero's in the White House. If nothing else, the two sort of match up together. So let's see. Thank you very kindly, Randy and PA. You're hot on 4 out of the 5 streams. For some reason, FYINation.com is silent. Yeah, I don't know why that would be, but thank you for letting us know, Randy. Thank you. Everything's hot and running true from here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. The Moran brain train is going off the rails on both streams. Conductor Donald, Bob, says Brother Deacon Asa. So things appear to be working, and as they should for the most part. Steve from Georgia Stan notes hot as fuck here, and it'll stay that way. But don't worry, it won't last. Steve in New York says the brand new flageolet is firing on all cylinders. Well, good, because that means that the Knutton valve that we recently replaced is staying true to form. Well, dadgummit. Fall doesn't officially arrive till the 20th at 3:50 a.m. EDT, says Randy in PA. Then somebody was lying. Because one of those broadcasts, summer's over. I didn't think it was till the 20th. I've been grieving early. But I must confess, it's been hot and beautiful here. It was a very busy weekend here in the hills and hollers of Almost Level West by Cold Trump Genius Stan. Had a lovely family get-together over the weekend, and I spent Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon working on the around the griddle and on the smoker, doing ribs and chicken, and I made some shrimp fried rice on the griddle. A bunch of cousins came in, and we had a wonderful time. And in the meantime, I turned the radio on in the car, and listened to the Mountaineers not break my heart. It was refreshing. They put a significant beatdown on North Carolina State, and I think we were dogs by a few points on that, even though we were at home. But it was encouraging. It means that maybe we got a 3-win season coming after the disastrous performance the previous week at Missouri. Kansas comes next. Maybe that can be the 3rd win. And then, well, the rest of it's just not so doggone nice. It's the rest of the Big 12. But I felt like there was something to hope for. And it was just fun. I get a big kick out of running around in the yard and making sure the temperatures stay right, and the ribs were good, and the chicken was fantastic. I loaded up the Acorn smoker with as much as it could hold. There was one failure. I saw manager's special beef ribs, and beef ribs just don't behave the same way pork ribs do. They were kind of, well, charcoal-y. I mean, it had some good flavor, but they disappeared in nothing. So there was that. I need to work on that. Let's see, the Browns and the Jets tonight on Monday Night Football, isn't it? The Miami Dolphins continue to disappoint. And I thought with real sympathy for Rico in the Berg. Ben Raplesberger is done for the season on an elbow. And they lost. The Steelers did. Again, they're 0-2. Kyle says, it must be nice to cheer for a college football team that doesn't break your heart every fucking chance they get in the most painful ways possible. Sigh. I take it you're a UK fan? Well, you know, you got bad... Hey, hush.
You got basketball season coming up. Nobody pays attention to football in Kentucky. Come on. Yeah. I mean, you guys are already in the Final Four in basketball, and they haven't even played a game yet. It's kind of like Notre Dame in football. Oh, it's another banner year for the Fighting Irish. They may be 3-8, but by golly, there's a bowl in their future. Yeah. So, let's see, from the official Horn obituary editor, that would be Ron and Raleigh, I sadly report the passing last Friday of Edward Joseph Mahoney, a.k.a. Eddie Money, of esophageal cancer. I hope he has at least one ticket to paradise. On Sunday, another rock icon left us, Richard Theodore Ocasek, a.k.a. Rick Ocasek. I trust he has someone to drive him to his long home. He was 75 years old. Last Saturday, our favorite authoritarian was laid to rest. Robert Mugabe was interred in the Heroes Cemetery in Zimbabwe. Still not the one we're looking for. Not that it... And you know the old joke. The guy who stops at the newsstand every day, pays for a newspaper, picks it up, folds it open, looks at it, sets it back down, and goes away. And this goes on for a few days. And the guy at the newsstand finally says, "Hey, buddy. You buy a newspaper from me every day, but you leave it laying there. Why don't you even take it with you?" He says, "I'm just looking to see if somebody died." He goes, "You don't even open it to the obituaries." He says, "Nah, this son of a bitch I'm looking for, he'll be on the front page." So, got that. But, yeah, Eddie Money, cancer, Rick Ocasek, natural causes, heart disease and pulmonary emphysema. So that gets us up to speed with things like housekeeping. The broadcast week should be as near to normal, understanding that normal is a setting on a dryer and that's it. It should be as near to normal as it can possibly be. There shouldn't be any interruptions to the broadcast schedule this week. And so we got a fund, a $200 fundraising goal this evening. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, and all that ciphering that goes with that. And hopefully we can stay out of the hole this week so that we don't have to have two community-made miracles in a row on Fridays. I got the one bill paid, by the way. That's why there's a program going on. I got the one bill paid, got a couple more. Finishing the month, there's... $1,500 outstanding to finish the month. And then hopefully we start up in... We'll be at it in October. Now, how to go about... How to go about the program for this evening? It is after all, Moran Monday.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. It's Morin Monday on the Horn. You will not believe your ears. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, we've got all the Moranity you could possibly ever hope to witness. We've got them all. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, birchers, booger eaters, maggots, libertarians, trumpanzees, republicans, all waiting for your shocked, amazed comprehension of the weirdness that is the white wing in the new 90 states of America. Yes, yes, indeed, friends and neighbors, why spend your time futilely wandering around the carnival midway, occasionally throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in a desperate attempt to win a baby iguana to take home that will then
grow so big it'll probably eat your dog. No, don't do that. Come on over to the More End Monday tent. We, like I said, we've got them all for you here, friends and neighbors, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, kitties and cousins. Oh, we do, we do, we do. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. That's right, that's right. When you chip in at the More End Monday tent flap, well, your $10 a month subscriber, the first five of them get their subscriptions doubled, courtesy of Ralph's. Thank you, Ralph's. Get their subscription, their $10 a month subscriptions doubled. Five, the first five through the More End Monday tent flap. That's right, that's right. And that works out to, well, golly Moses, you can't buy a half a pack of chewing gum for what it costs per day to be a $10 a month subscriber at the Horn. No, you can't. You just can't. It is one of the biggest bargains in progressive media, and dare I say, any media. So hurry on by, and of course, the standard disclaimers apply. As you wander into the More End Monday tent, please keep a close eye on children, pets, including that iguana that you won throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls. Keep a close hand on watches, bracelets, rings, necklaces, various and sundry forms of jewelry, tie clasps. Yes, and even European-style messenger bags, because the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. And this More End Monday is no different from any other. Because we got them by the straight-up oodle. Over the weekend, two things of note. Two big things of note. One being the Saudi oil refinery and processing plant that went boom. That now has us apparently teetering on the brink of a potential Mideast wide war. Yay us. No, not at all. And the new revelations about Brat Kavanaugh. Turns out that there's a new book out there that details what a slipshod, pathetic, shitty, miserable, no good, rotten, corrupt, dirty job the FBI did of not investigating a ton, significant allegations of sexual predatory behavior on the part of our newest member of the Supreme Court of the United States, and I'm talking about Brat Kavanaugh, who likes beer. Elbert in Rhode Island, contradicting the Horn Obit Department, says Robert Mugabe has not been buried yet. NPR reported today that they expect to bury his body in about 30 days. He's already been sent to hell, but his body is awaiting burial. On the other hand, and this is just the very height of moranity. Almost impossible to pass this by. So the backstory on the Kavanaugh allegation is that, yeah, there's a guy who actually saw Brett Kavanaugh, you know, gross, saw Brett Kavanaugh put his penis into the hand of a girl at Yale at college who was passed out drunk. And the book that's coming out, of course, is causing quite the stir, because that's not even the central portion of the book. It just happens to be one of the things that's recounted. In particular, what's noteworthy is that the FBI did an absolutely miserable job of tracking down these allegations against beer drinking Brat Kavanaugh. And so the air has been filled this weekend with calls for him to be impeached. Devil take the hindmost and make. Of course, the Republican Senate has proven that it has no compunction against defending a sexual predator like Brett Kavanaugh. But impeach him in the House and make him own it. But of all the stupid, and there has been a lot of stupid, of all the stupid that has attended the White Wing response to these allegations, well, nothing quite compares with that of young Ben Shapiro. We've had some passing contact with Ben Shapiro's broadcast efforts in the not too distant past. I had the misfortune of actually hearing one of his broadcasts as I was driving through Alabama back in June, coming back from the Molloy Mountain getaway. Wowzer. So I would say that the hockey puck, this being Moran Monday, the hockey puck is well in order if you don't want the neighbors to hear you shrieking and laughing and hooting like a barn owl. Correction, says Steve in New York, the FBI did an excellent job in its investigation. Its directive was to cover it up and sweep it under the rug. And cover and sweep it did. It's almost like hash browns at the Waffle House, scattered, smothered, and covered. So if you've got the hockey puck and the duct tape ready, well, strap in, because Ben Shapiro wants someone to explain to him about penises. Yes, we're on this Moran Monday, the 16th of September, 2019. We're going for the gusto. We're going to talk about penises and see if we can't start out by ruining dinner in the Eastern time zone. And we'll move on to the Central from there, because I'm sure there's plenty more.
We've had a bevy of public figures in recent years who have had their...
Doesn't he say... He hasn't even said anything yet. But I'm already pretty much convinced that... You know how they... And I don't know if there's any truth to it, but they say that the gaming floors in Vegas, that they add a little soupçon of oxygen just to keep people up and perky and playing. It sounds like Ben Shapiro's studio has just a little bit higher than normal amount of helium pumped into it.
Because he's, you know, kind of up here.
And even the tone of voice gives you an idea of where this is going to go and how quickly it's going to get there.
Yeah. Penises.
I mean, Ben would happily go to San Francisco to learn about penises, but he's all worried about the poopy on the sidewalks. You know, him being a right winger and all.
We've had a bevy of public figures in recent years who have had their genitalia described on national television by people who allege sexual assault. Right, Stormy Daniels famously described President Trump's genitalia. Bill Clinton's genitalia. Details of such were talked about.
Now, something to bear in mind as we work our way through this tormented 1 minute and 20 seconds. He actually wrote this down. He's reading this. He typed it out and thought, ooh, this is some high quality professional broadcasting. I can't wait to read it with a camera on me and have my voice go into a microphone. Which tells you a lot about Ben Shapiro's mental, cerebral, intellectual acuity and why he would find himself being the lead nominee on this here Moran Monday. But really, it's the helium voice that does it for him. Apparently,
I don't know, things that were supposed to have dropped several years ago must not have.
Nobody has yet described Kavanaugh's genitalia. Now, that's not dispositive. Maybe they were generic. Who knows? But the bottom line is...
Yep. He's fantasizing about the appearance of Brett Kavanaugh's penis. Ben. The closet is a terrible place, buddy. Just say you want to see it. Gaze on it. Perhaps cast loving glances at it. You know, when I was a kid, every now and then it was they would do like the Super Friends thing where Batman and Superman and Aquaman and they all worked together. You know, long before there were these massive blockbusters, these were just cheap Saturday morning cartoons. Suddenly, I'm struck by the notion that I want to. I want the opposite of that. I want to see, like, super dweebs. I want to see Jesse Lee Peterson and Ben Shapiro in the same broadcast booth together. Dear God, it could provide Moran fodder for years, even on one of those exoplanets where a year is 75 Earth years long. Wow. Just ponder it.
We've had no corroborating details on any of these stories. All of them apparently happened in public places with other witnesses available, and not one witness has been there who corroborates any of these stories.
Actually, that's the problem, especially with this most recent revelation. It's a guy who was not involved in the thing. We'll call it the thing, but we both know we're talking about when... No, one guy reached out. First of all, you have to imagine pathetic neo-maxi zoom dweeby young Brett Kavanaugh standing drunk out of his gourd at a party with his schmeckle out. Then you have to remember, have to visualize, and this is why the hockey puck. Otherwise, there would be screaming and barking and hooting. One of his buddies reaching over and grabbing his dingus and putting it in the hand of a girl who was passed out drunk. And a non-involved third party says he witnessed all of this and begged the FBI, pretty please, to investigate, and of course, they didn't. Now, meanwhile, over there on my filthy morning habit, Joe Scarborough was up and barking this morning. Why didn't the New York Times say early on that the girl says she didn't remember what? 'Cause she was passed out drunk, Joe. And I know this is going to be a big surprise to... frat boys like Joe. I mean, I was in a fraternity too. But girls who are passed out drunk, well, you know, you probably shouldn't be. No, there's no probably about it. It's not right to do what Brett Kavanaugh and his buddies did. Because remember, it took more than one to. Oh, Jesus.
Well, she can't corroborate it.
Well, Joe, why don't you go ahead and ask how she was dressed? Pig. Darlene in Connecticut getting right to the heart of the matter. Ben Shapiro sounds like he has no genitalia.
Yeah, just smoother than a Ken doll down there.
Yeah, dinner in the... Sorry, Reverbo. Sorry, Sonia. I know. You asked me not to. Sometimes it's unavoidable. Ron in Raleigh says, Little Benny believes that if you talk fast enough, no one will notice that you're full of shit. Sam Cedar has an ongoing contretemps with Dave Rubin and Ben Shapiro. Ben was called by the New York Times the smart kids philosopher of the dark web. Because they do shit like that over at the New York Times. Ben Blank Shapiro, Suman asks, Isn't Ben the guy who wrote a blank book and the maggots just gave him free money for nothing? God, it sounds like something they'd do. The research department will have to get right on that. Constipated commentators and the presidents who love them. Bob, Ben Shapiro sounds like he's constipated. Might I suggest a dose of castor oil? Well, maybe some Fletcher's Castoria. He's a little fella. I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on the internet, but here it goes. Ben Shapiro needs somebody to explain to him what a penis is. Did little Benny's mom not have that talk with him? How about Mr. Shapiro? That's kind of his job. As for the FBI, everyone now knows that they fear the Quince Quisling at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Oh, that's quality, Quince Quisling. There's everything to fear. He's a fat heart attack waiting to happen. Maybe if they had done their job, he didn't have a heart attack earlier, and then he could have gotten the help he needed. I say if they draw up impeachment articles on everybody in the Trump administration who deserves it, the entire Democratic Party will get writer's cramp. A little jingle for that for our buddy Dave, corresponding from the blind. Kyle, who reminds us that he's gay, said, and this is so often the case, Ben Shapiro thought about a man's genitalia more than I did today. And that, too, earns a jingle. We're going to have to play out this clip sooner or later. Let's get it done.
It's unbelievable. And yet the Democrats are still saying that Kavanaugh should be kicked off the Supreme Court based on, what, a new report from a guy who says that he was at a party and saw a male grab Kavanaugh's penis, which, by the way, would be sexual assault, and then thrust it into the hand of a female who says she doesn't remember the incident.
Okay, so it's not sexual assault for the male, if, you know, and Ben doesn't understand things like this, not having been out in the world and whatnot. If the guy grabbing Brat Kavanaugh's junk, if that was consensual, then it wasn't sexual assault, Ben. Poor little guy.
It seems like you might remember that incident. Just going to put that out there.
Not if you're blackout drunk, you don't. Not if you're passed out drunk, you don't. Oh, no. I mean, I can tell you in our fraternity house, one of the first things I was taught when I moved in is, at the end of the day, when you go to sleep, lock your door. Because there's a substantial number of practical jokers, and their favorite thing, I mean, it wasn't anything nasty or anything, they just, you know, would write vulgar slogans on your face with a Sharpie. So, you know, I took the advice because I saw those who did who had not. Hijinks. No penises were involved.
But if you're a female innocently sitting at a party and suddenly some dude comes and takes someone else's junk and thrusts it into your hand.
You probably should not say comes, Ben. But she's not just sitting at a party. She's not conscious at a party. And there's kind of a difference. Of course, you know, Ben's one of those people who walks around and says, lips that touch liquor shall never touch mine. Your lips? No, my liquor.
It feels like that might be memorable.
Don't say what it feels like, Ben. It's pretty obvious you don't know what it feels like. Even more obvious that you'd really, really like to know what it feels like.
I'm going to go to the woman in the room. Jess, does that seem like a memorable incident to you? Yeah. It seems like a memorable incident to Jess. I will take Jess as generic woman here because I think that is a fairly memorable incident. I think any normal person would probably remember that. And if called by the New York Times, oh, were you at a party where someone grabbed somebody's junk and thrust it into your hand? Seems like it might be memorable.
Is he on coke? I mean, is this what Or is this just what the really, really high-quality coffee beans of the waning years of the second decade of the 21st century do to young millennials? Just make them... Because used to be, my generation, you'd have to do substantial coke and or speed or crank or something to get that wired up. See, I don't even do caffeine. That's why I'm so damn mellow on this program. That's why it takes me 15 minutes to say my name. I mean, because it just can't. Correction. Sumon getting his own rebound. My apologies. That was Michael Knowles, the blank book. Okay. Sumon regrets the... doesn't regret. I mean, it's... Oh, Jesus. Thanks, Sumon. What? It's like... Because Nitwit Nero was rage-tweeting about this, too. He accused the New York Times of liable, L-I-A-B-L-E, which is the state of being legally responsible for something. But what he was going for was libel, L-I-B-E-L, which is the sister allegation to slander, which is saying something false and defamatory about someone. But the problem is that would have to be proven to be such. And you'll note that Brett Kavanaugh will not be filing suit because Brett Kavanaugh's closet is so full of skeletons his closet rattles and bangs like the Santana percussion section every time you walk past it. Remember all the debts that were mysteriously paid off? And not only does he like beer, he likes baseball. He likes baseball to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars of tickets that just got paid for. Just like his house. He owns his house free and clear, even though he wasn't making enough money to pay it off. And the other problem that attaches to all of this, and by the way, Steve in New York just reminds us, I know I typically don't remember things when I'm unconscious. Maybe I'm just weird that way. Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, I go to sleep. No booze involved or anything. And I'm too busy with my fucking dreams to remember what's going on outside. You know, until the little cat starts trying to body slam the door to get in. It usually happens about 4. I know, it's tough to remember things when you're unconscious. Why don't you remember? I was unconscious. Yeah, but what's that got to do with not remembering? But underlying all of this is another little factoid. And that is that this regime has demonstrated for us with real clarity. Hi, Clarity. That it's harder and harder to hold people in positions of power in this government to account, especially when they're Republicans. What do I mean by this? Well, if you're a member of the Supreme... Okay, so just by way of background. First of all, we know that because of that seedy, shifty little memo that the President of the United States cannot be charged with a crime. Even if, and I emphasize this, because sometimes you've got to paint with broad brushstrokes in order to make things abundantly clear, the President of the United States
if he had an AR-15 with a 100-round magazine and was standing in Lafayette Park in front of the White House, and his entire Secret Service contingent was watching him do it, and there were video cameras rolling to capture it for posterity, and the President of the United States, with his AR-15, let's give him a bump stock while we're at it, was because I guess they're illegal now, was just sitting there blazing away and shooting American citizens, murdering them in cold blood in plain sight of law enforcement. No one, and I mean no one. Let's make this real obvious. Let's add in the D.C. Metro Police and the Capitol Police and the FBI Law Enforcement Division. They're all there, and they just stand there, and they watch the president mow down innocent civilians, citizens of the United States, with an AR-15, and because of that stupid, seedy, tawdry, poorly reasoned piece of shit memo, nobody can arrest him for that mass shooting. Put it another way, if the President of the United States, instead of stochastically motivating the massacre in El Paso, had actually committed it in his own right, nobody could have arrested him for it. Nobody could have taken him into custody for it. Nobody could have presented the case to a grand jury for it. And that is that. So that's you know, the past that's prologue on this. Well, turns out something similar applies to Supreme Court justices. If you're a U.S. magistrate, if you are a U.S. district court judge, if you are a judge on the United States Circuit Court of Appeals, you are subject to a judicial ethics commission. And they can rule on things like your poor conduct. Dozens of such allegations were filed against Brett Kavanaugh when he was still at the U.S. Circuit Court level. All of those cases, all of those complaints were dismissed. Because as of the moment his hand came off the Bible and he became a member of the Supreme Court of the United States, there were no rules whatsoever that applied to his conduct. None. Had he remained a U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals judge, the commission would have had jurisdiction to, for instance, look into the numerous times when he obviously, openly, broadly, plainly, and brazenly, and with aforethought, lied on multiple occasions to the Senate Judiciary Committee. They could have made inquiry into that. But this Justice Department is not going to look into his mendacity, his willingness to lie, and to not even lie convincingly, because he didn't have to lie convincingly. He didn't have to care, because he knew he was in the clear. And so, with Brett Kavanaugh being a law unto himself, he's above the law. The other eight justices can't touch him,
and four of them aren't even interested. And so he gets away with it. He's that character from from L.A. Confidential. Oh, what was his name? Why can I never remember that? The guy who always gets away with it. I can hear it, I just can't say it. Somebody will write me. So the only way to even begin to bring some level of accountability to Brett Kavanaugh is to impeach him, to open impeachment proceedings. Well, thank you. Glenn sent me a note a few minutes ago. Glenn said, I'm just got back from a cruise I will forever refer to as the Dorian amusement ride of the Maritimes. 12-foot swells, just barrel rolling by and windy, then... Yep, it was not a dinner night. I don't give a shit how big these ships are, and this one was 112,000 tons. It's a ride, but it was a beautiful area of New England. Got turned away from one destination, Bar Harbor. Oh, well, I'm sure there are more important things in the world. Thanks for all you do. Thank you, Glenn. Sorry it was a bit of a vomit comment. But following up on that, Glenn writes and says, I missed you. You go, man. What a sick menace has been released on the Americans. And that, yeah. He is perhaps more of a menace than we know, because he's going to be there probably longer than most of us will remain alive on this planet. He's gonna do the same thing to America that he did to all the other women that he forced himself upon, with disastrous consequences. Don't worry, that's all, Flavio, that's all. Flavio writes and says, no more Ben Shapiro, for the love of Jesus, I could listen to your voice all day, but dear God, Ben Shapiro's is like fresh chalk across a clean blackboard. Jarring as fuck. Yeah, I can't take it for very long either. It makes me feel like there's some sort of a contact buzz with the... And I don't like that whole speedy, racy kind of... No. Darlene writing says, the brat is back. Hate to write this, but based on everything we've heard about BK's collegiate proclivities, that poor drunk passed out female co-ed may have gotten off easy with just a BK penis in the hand. I'm assuming the whistleblower would have spoken up if BK had done something more. But what a helpful friend BK had back in the day, helping to put BK's John Thomas into an unsuspecting woman's hand. Hey, what are friends for? And I don't know, but for one guy to grab another guy's dick like that and put it into someone else's hand, well, there's some sort of understanding between them. Understanding in scare quotes. Yeah, that's a understanding. Yeah, understanding. But see, the only, like I said, the only way you get anything resembling accountability... And the House would probably enjoy this, maybe more than they would enjoy impeaching Chlamydia Claudius, because typically speaking, the House has no say-so in judicial appointments. The only time the House gets to say anything about a judicial appointment is when one of them turns out to be a crook. And then they can, because impeaching a Supreme Court justice is the same as impeaching a president. Or a vice president, or anybody. It's the same process. You do hearings in the House, and then you draw up a bill of impeachment, and you vote on the bill of impeachment, and then the bill of impeachment, which serves as sort of an indictment, goes over, and there is a trial in the Senate. And it sure does look like Brett Kavanaugh was custom made for a Supreme Court impeachment. And here's the thing, and it's because the goddess of irony does not let up. It would provide Democrats in the House the opportunity to stand up and say, listen, it's not about the sex. It's about the lying. And then everybody who was around in the mid-90s in the Congress could feel words drying up and turning into ashes in their mouths, especially people like Precious Lindsey Graham. But it's all there is. It's the only hope we have for something resembling accountability. And oddly enough, within the history of the United States of America, the first usage of the impeachment power was not on a president. You know, we didn't impeach a president until Andrew Johnson. No, the first use of the impeachment power, if I'm not mistaken, in the United States was the impeachment of a member of the Supreme Court of the United States. And it was presided over, and that is the, and this is the one distinction. It was presided over not by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, if I recall correctly, but by the Vice President of the United States. In this case, Aaron Burr. Which, from a historical standpoint, everyone agreed that Aaron Burr ran that impeachment trial in the Senate perfectly, justly, fairly. And the Supreme Court justice in question survived that impeachment trial by one vote. Now, I'm not going to sit here and kid myself that there's anything nearly resembling that level of honor and dignity in the current Senate of the United States. But it goes back to that clip we had of Barbara Jordan from a couple of months back where she said, the House must not be concerned with what the Senate is going to do or not do. The House has a job and the Senate has a job. And the two are entirely independent of one another. The Senate cannot inveigh on whether or not the House should impeach, and the House can only present its impeachment case to the Senate and can't do a damn thing if the Senate chooses not to remove the impeached official from office. Put another way, the House, if it wants an omelet, must be willing to break eggs. And the Senate is free not to eat the omelet, but the Senate also has not a damn bit of business offering up any tips or tricks on how the omelet is to be made. There's a list now. Barr should be impeached. Kavanaugh should be impeached. What did Elizabeth Warren say? Yeah, Kavanaugh should be impeached, as should the man who appointed him. That's pretty solid. And so that's one of the, you know, that's just one of the things that has been grabbing our attention over the course of the weekend. And I was rather desperately trying to avoid the news cycle. I almost got far enough out in the woods that the updates couldn't find me. But every now and then, even though I had the ringer turned off, the damn thing would buzz in my back pocket, and I'd go, "Oh shit." Will it happen? over at House Judiciary, I think it is. I think it is probably an understatement. Rollo Tomasi, thank you, Tracy. Rollo Tomasi is the guy who never gets caught. Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court Justice Rollo Tomasi. That was the one. I'll try to remember that again. But given given the way it all plays out, all I could hear was, that'll do, pig. That'll do. Because the same guy who played in L.A. Confidential played in Babe. No, not Babe. Was it Babe? The Pig movie. That'll do, pig. That'll do. But, yeah. I take it Tracy loves that movie, too. So we've got that. And before we go into the really momentous stuff, like, will our world be on fire, like, day after tomorrow? Just a little thing. I love my technology stories. China is getting getting ready to bring fully online a new radio telescope. Now, the story is from, I think, Popular Mechanics or Popular Science, something like that. And you know how they give you the bullet points at the beginning of the article? Well, it says that the telescope studies radio waves emanating from space, already discovered two pulsars in 2017. They found over 100 possible pulsars since. It's a great big Chinese radio telescope. And it says they're launching it, but I don't think that means into space. Because the photo they provide is, it looks a lot like the one in Puerto Rico, Arecibo. They've heard some of the fast repeating bursts that may come from neutron stars and whatnot. But the reason I bring this up in the midst of a Moran Monday is to note the, and again, it's Chinese, and so God only, you know, I don't speak Mandarin. I don't know what its name is in Chinese. But the technical writers who were tasked with writing an article about it had to come up with an acronym for it. So that bullet point, you see, China is officially launching a giant radio telescope soon, known in English as FAST. FAST, which studies radio waves, yada, yada, yada. You get a few paragraphs down, and you find out that FAST stands for 500-meter aperture spherical radio telescope. Well, the fact of the matter is, a sphere is an orb. And we all know that I'm on shifting sands whenever I touch on anything mathematical, and certainly three-dimensional geometry and trig, it falls well within that range. But to be spherical is to be round. Whereas if this thing is like the photograph that accompanied the article, it's concave. And, yea verily, parabolic. But there's a problem. Because the full name is the 500-meter aperture spherical radio telescope. And if they had not inserted the spherical in there, because, look, scientists have senses of humor, too. And technical writers, God knows. And science writers. You've already figured it out, haven't you? If they had not inserted that spherical in there, in a thing that ain't spherical, but is rather parabolic or
concave or... Right. Had they not inserted the word spherical, it would have been the 500-meter aperture radio telescope. Come on. Fart. That didn't take long, even with the internet latency being what it is. Steve in New York was out in front. Yes, it's the fart. The fart has discovered a neutron star. The fart has discovered signs of another black hole. Fart used to gather radio waves. You can see how this would be a problem, both for, and you know, over in the nerd department. They like their humor broad and generally scatological. And it could probably cause an international incident if the Chinese found out we were referring to their great big radio telescope, of which they are justifiably proud, as, well, broken wind. Although that sounds kind of elegant, doesn't it? The Chinese Broken Wind Telescope. But I just wanted to—I wanted to work that in there because some, you know, we are lovers of the art of word knowing here. Once we pass this review, FAST becomes an accepted telescope for exploring the universe, says Zhang Peng, FAST's chief engineer and deputy director of FAST operation. And they use FAST a lot. Because I think they suspected that some of us would figure out that it's not FAST. It's FART. China uses FART to observe black hole. Oh, that has potential. You guys never let me down. I give you something tawdry and juvenile to play with, and we're off and running. Steve was first. Kyle follows. The fart has discovered evidence of another black hole. Okay, I laughed way harder than a soon-to-be 30-year-old man should at that, SMH. No, laugh away, Kyle. Because we got to have these, given where we are right now. You know the funny thing? I saw the news of the whatever it was that happened in Saudi Arabia, and I would not... Look, this is not the Alex Jones show or anything, but I wouldn't put it past the Saudis to do this to themselves. They're trying to figure out a way to get the United States in to you know, so that they can wag the dog and get us to do their dirty works because, you know, Saudis weren't meant to work. That's why they bring in all those people from all those other countries to do the work. Saudis was meant to lay about and beat their slaves from time to time. Oh, no, you know me. I don't just say things. Let's go to the stack, shall we? Yes. Dateline, courtesy of Deutsche Welle, September 12th, 2019. It's the story of Princess... Princess Hassa Bint Salman. Yeah, I guess she's a sister or a half-sister to Mohammed bin Bonesaw. But she's a Saudi princess. She is the only daughter of the King of Saudi Arabia. Kind of makes you wonder, given...
statistics and everything, how it was that he only wound up having one daughter. It's kind of like how, what was her name? The only daughter of Jacob in the Old Testament. Boy after boy after boy after boy after boy, and then boom, daughter. Okay, good. I'm proud of you guys. You're taking the ball and running with it. Steve in New York. News release. The fart reportedly escapes black hole and reemerges. Fart sends back high-resolution photos of Uranus. God, I love you guys. Yeah. Don't let this go. Oh, what? This is the best thing since Shiny Heine. Where's John Britovo when we need him? No, It happened in Paris, this story, with Princess Hassa bint Salman. She's been tried in a French court. Happened last week. She was found guilty of ordering the kidnapping and attack of a plumber in her luxury Parisian home. One, I mean, who am I, but it, why? I mean, funny, they like the money that they get out of the stinking sands of Saudi Arabia, but they don't want to stay there. They want to live in Paris or L.A. or go to the doctor at the Cleveland Clinic. They like Switzerland. Maybe it's because she's a girl. Oh, what was the name of the only daughter? Dina. D-I-N-A-H. Dina. The only daughter of Jacob. And the only reason she makes it into the Old Testament is so that we can be given... She advances the plot so that we can see... So that Jacob and his sons have a reason to go in and murder a bunch of people. It's just right there in the book. Well, the king of the noble, puissant, high, majestic, serene, gracious king of Saudi Arabia somehow managed to only have one daughter. I think that must be the one that that mama hid away in the bull rushers, because I got a feeling there's a little problem. You know, they're a sick bunch, that Saudi royal house, and I wouldn't be surprised to find out that there wasn't a little, what do the Republicans like to call it, post-birth abortion? Yeah, because the real word for that is infanticide. And the noble, serene, gracious, high, majestic, puissant, peaceful Saudi royal house would not be the first to have practiced it. But she's the only daughter of the king of Saudi Arabia. And since she didn't stick around for the trial, she got a 10-month suspended sentence and a 10,000 euro fine. Again, in absentia. Funny thing is, prosecutors had only asked for a 5,000 euro fine and a 6-month suspended sentence. The trial had started back in July. She's 43 years old, the precious princess is. And she hired a guy named Ashraf Eid. And Ashraf Eid is a plumber. She had him come into her apartment, her luxury home in Paris, to do some plumbing work. Well, as he was working, he pulled out his cell phone to take some pictures of the work that he was doing. Not at all particularly unusual. Maybe your plumber's truck is parked downstairs and you need to go down and get a fitting or something like that. And so you take a picture. Well, no. the darling princess, Hassa bint Salman, called to her bodyguards and had them tie him up. And the bodyguard then began punching and kicking him as the princess shrieked, "You'll see how you speak to a princess!" Odd that this was happening in the country where they invented the guillotine for just such manners of royalty. And after her bodyguard had beaten the shit out of the plumber, they made him kneel before her and kiss her hairy feet. The French court obviously agreed with the victim. It wasn't like he was trying to abuse her noble, majestic, serene, high graciousness by photographing her plumbing, which is not a euphemism for anything. It was literally the water lines. But, you know, you can get away with that if you're a Saudi princess. And I'm beginning to think you can get away with a whole hell of a lot else. Like maybe bombing your own oil facility. Because it drove the price. Because prior to the events of the weekend, the Saudis had been trying to get the price of oil back up and had been limiting production. And this limits production in a big, big way. So now we're being told that, well, they're working hand over fist to get production restored. Curiously, I might add, nobody died. Not one single person died in this nefarious sneak attack. Houthi rebels in Yemen said that they did it, but that was not good enough for the Saudis, who said, "No, no, no, had to be Iran. Didn't it, Uncle Donnie?"
Well,
yeah. And so we get some bellicose tweeting over the course of the weekend. Things like,
"We're cocked and locked. We're locked and loaded." I didn't say cock. And I didn't say it about Brett Kavanaugh either.
It's disgusting, to say the least. And brutal and dangerous. As in putting us on the brink of a terrifying war. Little moments of irony, though. For instance, a few hours ago, the United States said, via what is described as a senior Trump administration official, that Iran had launched a dozen cruise missiles, and that's how they blew up, or that's how the Abakik facility blew up. They cited no evidence whatsoever for their claim, except for the fact that they would like to get their war on. Like I said, the Houthis said they did it, and they did it with drones. But again, the unnamed senior U.S. official said to ABC News on Saturday, "It was Iran. The Houthis are claiming credit for something they did not do."
Meanwhile, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point.
Oh, God, that just tickles me pink every time I hear he graduated first in his class at West Point. Oh, you can't make that shit up. No, you can't. Well,
he said, no, definitely came from Yemen. There's no evidence. Definitely no evidence that came from Yemen. Of course, I'm an excellent Secretary of State.
And in the midst of all this, a general bit of forgetting. Because there's a lot of back and forth. Those dastardly Iranians, they provided the technical means, maybe for the Houthis to do this. But
you mean like how we provide the weapons and the bombs and the logistical support for the Saudis to slaughter God only knows how many men, women, children, civilians, innocents in Yemen? Yeah.
The horror in Yemen is measured in tens of thousands of dead and tens of thousands of wounded and tens and thousands of orphans and tens and thousands of starving.
Never, never, not once, ever has Donald Trump tweeted a single syllable about that humanitarian disaster. Which sort of tells us something, doesn't it?
They've released a grainy black and white satellite photo that shows some of the damage once the smoke cleared. But there has been precisely zero evidence put forward to support the allegation that Iran did it. Other people say that there were at least 20 drones involved in the attack. And if it really is drones, it turns military bowels to pure water, because you can't defend that shit. It's asymmetrical warfare that terrifies them. Because they're little, and they're hard to spot, hard to track. And whatever they are, they can apparently pack a wallop. But the nitwit Nero regime is doing its dead level best to Gulf of Tonkin, he tried to kill my daddy bit. In a story from the Associated Press, Americans allege the pattern of destruction suggested Saturday's attack did not come from neighboring Yemen, as claimed by Iranian-backed Houthi rebels there. A Saudi military spokesman later made a similar accusation, alleging Iranian weapons had been used in the assault. Just one little observation that goes along with all of this. Spot oil prices and oil futures jumped, of course. So that means most of us out here are going, well, we're going to get fucked at the pump again. But there is a group of people, and it's a group of people I rather envy at this moment in time. There's a group of people out there that does not give a good goddamn if the entire Saudi Arabian Peninsula caught fire and every last goddamn barrel of oil they control burned up. Climate change concerns attendant upon that notwithstanding. And that group of people, they're in the United States, they're in Germany, they're in France, they're in England, they're in Japan, they're in Australia, they're in Italy. That group of people is the group of people that consists of those who own electric vehicles and never have to use a single fucking gallon, not an ounce of gasoline. And they're just sitting back and saying, fuck you! And if we had any kind of coherent energy policy in the United States, we would be working on being able to say fuck you to Saudi Arabia 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. If we had any brains at all in our foreign policy, that would be the first thing we were working on. That beautiful, beautiful morning when we can send a note to Saudi Arabia and say, hey, fuck you. Drop dead. Signed, Uncle Sam. Eat shit and bark at the moon, bonesaw. We don't need your stinking oil. And it would have the added benefit of our species actually having a fighting chance at survival. Cowbell for James in Illinois. Picking up on what I was working on earlier. James says, definitely not Qantas drones. Not Qantas drones. Qantas never crashed. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Thanks, James. Oh, and hey. Thank you very kindly to Anatole. Anatole got us started on fundraising. We're almost halfway through the program, and Anatole got us off the schneid and untracked, and hopefully some other folks will jump in there alongside him, and the next thing you know, we'll knock out that remaining $190, because we really need to. This last week, we can't be carrying a bunch of godforsaken deficit. Just can't. Thank you, Anatole. Thank you. So, we shall see. There's a lot of war. There's a lot of war stiffies in Washington right now, almost entirely possessed by Republicans. One official, speaking on condition of anonymity, said the Trump regime is thinking about dispatching more military resources to the Gulf. No decisions have, however, been made. The USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier battle group is on station in the area. We've sent out the USS Harry Truman surface fleet. Without the USS Harry Truman, however, because the USS Harry Truman, a Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, is laid up in home port at Norfolk because it doesn't work. It has, again, nuclear aircraft carrier, has wiring problems, electrical problems. And somehow, they haven't gotten it fixed yet, so they sent the support. They sent the task force out without the aircraft carrier, because the fast frigates and cruisers and whatnot have a shit ton of missile capability. And, you know, if we want to have some 20-year-old kid press a button and send a Tomahawk cruise missile flying into Iran to, you know, murder some child in its sleep, well, they can do that. The best part, though, was when Chlamydia Claudius took to the Twitter and said,
"We're locked and loaded, definitely locked and loaded."
The meaning of that's pretty obvious to anyone with two neurons to rub together. But no. immediately, Mike Pounce's spokes creep, or rather his chief of staff, named Mark Short, took issue with anybody who would dare to comprehend or to assign meaning to locked and loaded, to assign to it the common meaning that everybody knows and understands. You want to hear some twisted Moran reasoning? I mean, somewhere down in the dirt, George Orwell screamed, "Aw, you're kidding, aw, fuck, you..." Something like that. Mark Short said,
"I think that locked and loaded is a broad term that talks about the realities that the U.S. is safer and more secure domestically from energy independence."
Can we take a moment to parse that? One, that's not what locked and loaded means. Two, it's not even remotely what locked and loaded means. And three, the goddess of irony got hold of him. Safer and more secure domestically from energy independence. We are safer from energy. That means we are energy dependent. To be safe from energy independence means you're not energy independent. So the goddess puts these little tells in these lying sleazebags' mouths so that those of us who are actually paying attention can know what they're up to. Meanwhile, Randy in PA says, "The commodity of oil seems to be semi-fungible, based in part on production and transportation costs. I'm speculating that we kiss Saudi ass due to the fact that our allies, Europe, get most of its oil from the Middle East, even though the U.S. produces a surplus of oil." Oh, I think that's absolutely the truth. And that's why European states, EU states, are working so hard to get to net carbon neutral. You know, for a while, Europe had its dalliance with diesel engines because they got vastly better mileage. But then, you know, the whole diesel thing fell apart when we found out about the fact that these so-called clean diesel engines actually produce more and deadlier ultra-fine particulate matter. And so I suspect the Germans and the French and the Swedes and so forth are taking considerably more seriously the need to ramp up production and viability of battery tech, you know, storage and transmission technology. So this is kind of where we are. We've got a madman in the White House who is barely literate, who wouldn't know a Sunni from a Shia, and wouldn't know a Wahhabi from a Wasabi, but knows that the Saudis would like it if we would murder the shit out of Iran for them. Because the Saudis, you see, and understand, this is a level of analysis that nobody in the Trump regime is capable of doing. The Saudis would like to be the hegemon in the Middle East, at least among the Arab nations. Now, they all understand that they are subject to immediate glassification by the Israelis because, well, Israel has its own nukes. But the Saudis would like to call the shots in the rest of the so-called Arab street. Because they feel like that's who they are. That's their destiny. And the Saudis are doing their best to dummy things up. Colonel Turki al-Maliki said, all the indications and operational evidence and the weapons that were used in the terrorist attack, whether in Bukake or Kureis, indicate with initial evidence that these weapons are Iranian evidence. Initial evidence. Yeah, okay. What passes for evidence to a Saudi colonel might not pass muster in a 10th century English pig and chicken court. Barbarians. And so we wait. We wait to find out if we're going to do something extremely stupid and attack Iran. No, that's not scrubbing dishes in the studio. That's my sustainable water bottle, Brother Deacon Asa. And when it's got water in it, it makes a really cool gong sound, too. Yeah. Just trying to do a little better on my water intake and cutting down on the stupid plastic bottles. Okay, here we are, halfway through the program. And again, we got $190 to come up with to keep even with the evening so we don't dig a hole and fall in it. And thanks to Anatole for getting us started. Todd's with us. Hey, Todd. Yo, Todd. Todd. There he is.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Are you on the far side of the moon? The transmission time was a little long.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, oh dear. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So you've got your radio.
I'm on the satellite phone.
You've got your phone on in the background. Do me a favor. I'm going to disconnect.
Oh, man. This is a hell of a delay. What's going on?
You're not getting the audio here. I'm going to disconnect. You call back, okay? It came in on the wrong channel. Yeah, I've been worrying a little bit about Todd because, you know, all that rain from Dorian and everything. It's been a little bit.
One.
No. It wouldn't be a Monday if we didn't have some technical fun. Shouldn't take too terribly long. Well, darn it. Okay. Maybe this will work this time. All right. Let's try this again.
Right.
Yeah, there you are.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, man. I just brought you in on the wrong channel.
Oh, I was like, whoa. At first it was a joke, like maybe I am on a satellite phone. What happened? Well,
I mean, I haven't heard from you since Dorian, so is everything okay down there?
It is, and I'm glad you asked. Yes, we're fine, and we didn't get enough rain, really. But, you know, I guess, you know, Bahamas got all our rain. Poor folks. Honestly, when it comes to the hurricanes now, you know, when you start looking at the past, North Africa, where that stuff emanates from, I'm not feeling too good about it this season. I'm really not. This whole week, 90 degrees.
Oh, it was hotter than hell here, and probably going to be hot this week too. I mean, it's gotten down to tolerable here in the studio. It's only 82 degrees in here now.
It's almost Halloween. I mean, this is late September. Come on.
Well, it's mid-September. Let's not hurry this along.
Let's not hurry.
You know, you're gonna have 2 weeks of winter where you are. I'm going to have it for months, so please.
Yeah, we're moving into the area where you don't, you know, the climatic area where you don't like it too much. No.
And you know, after I said that, the folks in Michigan and Wisconsin and Minnesota are like, you know, pink man, please.
I had a funny thing to say. I don't know if I should start with that. I mean, I just had this like skit running through my head. Honest to God. And when you started talking about electric vehicles, I was like, I should say this. But you were so serious, and what you were saying in your monologue, you know, you hit on so many points. The main one being, why was no one killed in Saudi Arabia?
Funny that, isn't it?
That doesn't make any damn sense. It's like, what did they tell everybody, hey, don't come to work today?
I don't know. Maybe we need an Abakic truth movement.
You saw those refineries in South Philadelphia. You know, I mean, it takes a lot. It takes people to run all that stuff.
Well, yeah, well, that's the whole thing. I'm guessing you can't just flip a switch and turn the lights out and everybody goes home at 5.
No. It takes time to shut those things down. You just No. Something. It just doesn't smell right. And then, I forget who said it. One of these bobblehead people mentioned the fact that the mentally ill Donald Trump said, well, we have to wait and see what the Saudis say before we move forward with anything. Like, that's not supposed to draw any suspicion.
Yeah, I mean, because I mean, the Saudis would never lie. I mean, it's not like 15 of the people who flew planes into our buildings, the Pentagon, the World Trade Center, and whatnot. It's not like 15 out of 19 of those guys were Saudis or anything. Oh wait, they were.
Oh wait, they were. Yeah, I don't.
I mean, I wouldn't look. I wouldn't trust a member of the Saudi royal house with the carcass of a run over skunk. I despise them. And that's not anti-Muslim, and that's not anti-Arab. That is anti-Saudi. Because they're a bunch of shitbirds.
They are. They really are.
They engage in slavery. They beat on plumbers and make them kiss the hairy toe of some fucking princess. And then she gets to evade justice by just not showing up when any other Parisian, and you know, she doesn't have diplomat. She's a Saudi woman. She doesn't have any goddamn rights at all. So it's not like she's there on a diplomatic mission. She just gets to not show up because she's a fucking Saudi.
it's too much smoke. You talked on so many, everything you said, you were right on point. And maybe if I'm afforded a couple of minutes, I want to work back.
You got all you want, brother.
Back. Because I found out some things recently I didn't even know. When we were kids, well, first of all, yeah, the Saudis are just cannot be trusted. No, they just can't. And part of that is our fault because we fucked them. We said we'd be basing all the oil on. I don't want to get into all that, but but they're still not trustworthy. A lot of the Middle Eastern people, they lie to us. That's what they do in Pakistan. Pakistan, they do it. It's not quite Middle East, but I probably shouldn't bring that up, but it's just we bring it on ourselves. You know, with the Saudis, this is really ugly. It's very ugly. And they're not going to change, and they have no motivation to change. Why would they change? But there's this BBC series, and it's from the late 70s. And it's called Pandora's Box. And somehow it popped up. I was online, and it was, and I was like, oh, it's a playlist. And I was, I watched the whole thing, and I was like, oh, my God. So apparently in the late, somewhere in the 70s when we were younger, when the UK was experiencing financial difficulties, they found it expedient to send jets, and arms to Saudi Arabia. Because guess who they were trying to decimate? Yemen. This is nothing new.
Well, see, at least at one point in time, there's a Yemen partition, and one part of them was Marxist. So, brooga, 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 commies.
Right. I was like, oh, my God, look at this shit. I couldn't believe it. It woke me up. It was like in the middle of the night. I don't know what I was doing, but I was just enthralled. Kicking somebody in the ribs, like, look at this. They weren't interested, but it was just fascinating. This is nothing. People, they were up in the caves, and they interviewed, they have something called the SKS, I guess. It's like our Navy SEALs, kind of. These guys were pretty UK,
SAS, Special Air Services.
SAS. Thank you. I knew I wouldn't get it right. It was late. They're interviewing him, like, yeah, this is what we did. He had his pictures, and they were interviewing them, and he's in his Yorkshire, cottage somewhere. And he said, yeah, it was a lot of fun. But, I mean, my God, this shit is not new. Yemen, I was like, fuck, we shouldn't even be part of this bullshit. All over oil. We don't even need this shit. We don't even need this. This is just a bunch of bullshit. And Pompeo, I'm so sick of him, I'm going to vomit.
He graduated first in his class at West Point.
God. Oh, my God. I mean, we have to, what is going on?
Well, I just got a great idea from Albert in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
Albert says, we need to create a volunteer army of Trump-supporting gun humpers. And then send them to fight a war for the Saudis.
That's brilliant. They can take their AKs with them, and they, here, have some bullets. Go over there. Only thing is you can't use them here. Take them over there.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant.
I mean, you've already bought yourself a flak jacket and all that shit. And get to it, Cletus.
I love that. That's where we are. That is so messed up.
And that dry desert climate will be real good for you.
They can do whatever they want out there in the desert. And, they can subjugate the women like they like to and all that kind of nonsense. It's really sad that we're in this place.
Let's be clear here. It's not like Radio Free Iran has given me a check for this. But I just hate for anybody to get run on what is so obviously a tissue paper thin bunch of lies.
Bunch of lies.
I mean, I got nothing. I got nothing for the regime in Tehran, but I don't know. It's kind of like when I watch two football teams I absolutely loathe play each other, and my fondest dream is to see them go through triple overtime and wind up nothing to nothing, so they both don't win.
Just slug it out.
Yeah, just beat the shit out of each other. But
and they're all tired.
But the thing is, you know, if Saudi goes to war, we're going to be the ones doing the bleeding and the dying, because
right,
they don't do that. The Saudis, from a manhood testosterone standpoint, are a bunch of chicken shit pants wetters. I mean, all you have to do is say Iran to a Saudi, and he fills his drawers. They're scared to death of Iran. Iran, meanwhile, no getting around it, has a real history. You know, the Persians, were doing things like inventing wind turbines back when the Saudis were fighting fighting with the vultures for what the jackals didn't want.
You hate to have to pick and choose cultures, but if you just look at it objectively. You know, come on. Do you want a Bedouin, or do you want people who had an actual culture that you can document and were actually inventing things and documenting what they were doing?
And I mean, there's,
that's what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, and it all, you know, it's all complicated by the relationship, the dysfunction between Sunni and Shia and all of that. But the thing is, if you try to reduce it to, oh, they're Shia, the Saudis are wasabis, then it's going to be as fruitless as anything else over there, if that's the prism through which you understand the conflict. That's not the nature of the conflict. The nature of the conflict is the desire to be the hegemon.
It's about power, exactly.
To put it in, I prefer not to deal
with the Wahhabism. I really would.
Yeah, but to put it in Brett Kavanaugh terms, the desire to be the little swinging dick at the party.
And since you brought up Judge Taney, Kavanaugh, I don't even know what to say about it. This shit is so transparent. It's such a false flag. It's so transparent. And then Pompeo, he was almost laughing. This fucker's almost laughing when he's telling the story. He's like, oh, you know, this horrible. Stop, you fucking ham-handed piece of shit.
You mean like you caught him trying to get the piece of ordnance out of the boat?
Oh, God. Well,
every time he opens his mouth, the value of a West Point degree goes down by another $100.
It's amazing. It's unbelievable. It's like, oh, our military is that good. Wow. Would you look at that? The finest that we have. Boy, and you know what's scary? And I was so irritated. He was the head of the CIA for a while.
Oh yeah, and there was a rumor back after Bolton said "fuck you, I quit" that he was just going to be acting national security advisor while he was at it.
I remember that.
That was subsequently quashed, but still, because he really wanted it. Because see, when he was CIA director, he wanted the NSA job.
Mm-hmm. Oh God!
But then, as John Goodman said, one day you're the Secretary of State, and the next day you're getting fired by a guy who sells meat through the mail.
Oh. my goodness, grandkids. Oh, my God. But, you know, I don't even know what else to say about this. How are we going to, it's going to take so long to mend all this mess. It's just going to be a bunch of scabs oozing. You know, there's not enough Neosporin on the planet to heal all this shit.
Oozing scabs at 10 minutes till 8 Eastern time. That's not a time check. We're just, okay, so that would be oozing scabs, fucking over the dinner hour in the mountain time zone. Hello, Denver. We're listening.
Come on. You know those scabs you would get, like, when you fall off your bike and you think they're healed and you push on them and it's like, ugh.
Oh, and they start itching, too.
And you have to scratch it. And it's like, they're not healed yet. Let me take this scab off. Oh, look at that. The ants are on it. Oh, they're feasting. Oh, God. Okay. And then I'd like you to segue into Kavanaugh. It's just too much for me. It's like people aren't paying attention. There was no real investigation, number one, that I saw. I mean, it was hurried along by buffoon number two, you know, the hatchet man, the criminally insane Bob Barr. You know, I don't even know what the man eats. I have no idea. I don't even know if he's human. But, you know, has there ever been a Supreme Court justice that has had this much of a cloud of suspicion around him, the stench of impropriety?
Not in a very long time, no. Let's see.
And I'm not trying to be funny.
Right. And as, you know, as James in Illinois points out, removal of Nixon was anything but a sure thing at the outset of those proceedings. But once the evidence became incontrovertible and indefensible, a bunch of Republican senators suddenly found their patriotism and realized that they were not willing to go down with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when a couple of them take that long walk to the White House.
See, and I would take this out to Kavanaugh in that this is one of the deepest, most revered positions that one can hold in the United States government. Lifetime appointment, you know, really just undue power. And what really kind of tilts the scales with him is that he's so young to have this much of a cloud of impropriety around him, which would, you know, says to me that, you know, the onus is on you to be super clean, to be that young. And, you know, his temperament, when he went off, in other words, you've been in a courtroom. Most people have been in the courtroom at some point or watched, you know, stuff on TV. You're not supposed to show your strength with the volume of your voice. It's supposed to be with the gravity of
that,
your language.
Yeah, but you save that shit for special occasions. You really do. I mean, if you have... You generally, you don't do that with the judge. You do that with the jury. And mm-hmm. And so that's what he was trying to play. When he went on his tirade, I like beer. he was playing to a jury, not to some sort of impartial trier of law.
I was offended, though. I was offended because it was a sham investigation, and I was offended because of what I was not there for, and obviously I wasn't there for any of those. However, that the amount of time that was given for that investigation was not enough, and it's not even about maybe the one witness that they brought. That might have been the weakest witness. Dr. Ford, you know, it was really about the finances. Like, where did all this, like, were they grooming you? Were you the guy? Because that's what it looked like to me. Like, wow, you're our pick. We're going to pay off your debts. We're going to clean you up. and you can drink all the imported beer you want when you're done. Or you like Budweiser, we'll give you cases of Budweiser. That's what it fucking looked like.
Well, look, as far as the only way we ever find out anything is if there are hearings. And the saddest fact is that this is, and you know what? This may play into a different scenario, Todd, because the House Judiciary Committee is doing a lot of the heavy lifting on the various and sundry sleazes and crimes and criminality and filth and that, you know, is all things Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But they've also got jurisdiction over any impeachment hearings relative to Kavanaugh.
Well, that's what you were saying.
So,
and I believe in that.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Running hearings on Kavanaugh might be a cogent argument for forming a select committee on impeachment and just passing jurisdiction on Trump over to that. And then let Nadler and company go to town on Kavanaugh. How about that?
To use that energy in that way, or to dovetail into a larger,
well, it lets you walk and chew gum at the same time
because of the time issues.
Yeah,
well, maybe okay.
Well, and
okay.
Capacity is a real thing. There's only so many hours in a day, and there's only so much work that committee is able to do. Because they're mm-hmm. not just doing Trump stuff; they are the committee on the judiciary. And that means they got oversight of all kinds of shit. You know, dirty dealings in the Department of Justice. Barr.
Oh, Barr. Jesus Christ.
So if you go ahead and create a select committee on impeachment, then that kind of a little bit frees up judiciary to take a good law and call witnesses about Kavanaugh. Because, again, what I said early on is factual. They weren't able to offer any input during the confirmation hearings because that is not their constitutional role. But impeachment goddamn well is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would hope it would work out like that. Because it's all these peels are all part of the same onion. And you know, the fish rots from the head. It's not just the mentally ill Donald Trump. It's these corrupt and incompetent people that have been appointed all through the process. But the Supreme Court justice, to be that young and that corrupt, I mean, he just flat out lied. When they asked him about the finances, he just lied.
Well, when they asked him about his attempts to get another judge confirmed, he lied about that. And another judge confirmed, and he lied about that. I mean, lying is what he does.
And he's not a good liar.
No, that's why he was blustering so hard.
And you know, and I remember looking at his wife, and his wife knew he was lying. She was kind of ashamed. And his wife screamed out, and he was hugging his kids, and his wife was out of there. She was like, I'm so done with this. I didn't even want you to be involved in this. When they were walking down the hallway at the end of the process.
But let's take a moment and go back to the Saudis and the Yemen and Iran.
Well, sure.
Because the graft and corruption is on full display there as well. Among other stupid things that he said, and the stupidest I'm still saving, but he basically has admitted that he's turned over the United States military to Prince Bonesaw.
Locked and loaded.
And that what this is a shakedown operation. I got a couple of clips here.
Mr. President, do you still think it's the responsibility of the Saudis to defend themselves?
No, I think it is certainly the responsibility of them to do a big deal of their defense, certainly. I also think it's the responsibility of the Saudis to, if somebody like us which are the ones are going to help them. They, I know that monetarily will be very much involved in paying for that. This is something that's much different than other presidents would mention, John. But the fact is that the Saudis are going to have a lot of involvement in this if we decide to do something. They'll be very much involved, and that includes payment, and they understand that fully.
Yeah, here's the problem. He said Mexico would pay for the wall, too.
He lied about Mexico, but he didn't lie, and I'm glad you played that clip. Remember when Khashoggi was killed, he's like, I don't know. We have big deals going on with Saudi. We just can't. You know, we don't want to jeopardize that.
And he went down that road. I got that, too.
And there wasn't an attack on us, but we would certainly help them. They've been a great ally. They spend $400 billion in our country over the last number of years.
You know, it takes a lot of nerve to say that Saudi's been a great ally precisely 5 days after the 18th commemoration of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Because that wasn't 15 Iranians, motherfucker. Mm-mm, no.
No.
$100 billion. That's a million and a half jobs. And they're not ones that, unlike some countries, where they want terms. They want terms and conditions. They want to say, could we borrow the money at 0% for the next 400 years? No. No, Saudi Arabia pays cash. They've helped us out from the standpoint of jobs and all of the other things. And they
pay cash.
They pay cash, and I'm getting a piece of it. You know, damn, you know he's getting, that's his whole thing, skim.
Kind of reminds me of the name of the Gene Shepherd piece that gave rise to A Christmas Story. In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash.
Did the mentally ill Donald Trump just telling himself just now? Oh, and they pay cash. Like, okay, let's see. Why is that important? Why could that be important? What would be the motivation for you even getting into that, getting that granular?
Well, because money is the only thing he's ever thought about in his entire life. That goes to show the paucity of his interior life. All he thinks about is money and tacky shit that he can buy with it. But the other part of it is... cash can be put in convenient things like briefcases and sometimes even, you know, brown paper bags.
That's interesting.
And delivered as a presidential gift.
Sounds like Nixon, doesn't it? Oh, my God. I don't know.
Matty Iglesias pointed out that Trump in his career has vetoed five bills. Four of them had to do with holding Saudi Arabia to account.
See? He knows they have oil, they have money, and I want it. I want it. And you know what the way they operate. Now, let's see, does he have a hotel there? Does he have some type of, what does he have in Saudi Arabia?
I don't know offhand, but if he doesn't, he's working on one.
He's working on it because you know, right? And it's like Russia. You know, you have to have their blessing, but they won't even let you, you know, build a damn cardboard box. You know, right? I just, you know, I hope Americans pass the one question I keep this time around, and don't get distracted by bullshit.
Somebody tweeted something at me, an article from I forget where, but it was a diehard Bernie supporter demanding that Democrats sit this election out if Bernie's not the nominee.
What? Fuck that!
No, that shit's all over the place.
No.
Yeah.
Oh no! We can't even get through tomorrow. Come on, every day we have to endure this, man. It's going to take a long time to get our institutions back. Come on. I just, I mean, Look, that time is past. That's some hippie shit. Fuck that. I'm all about hippies, but, you know, sometimes people have to grow up and just fucking act like an adult. You know, you just have to make decisions that mean something. Now, not tomorrow, like now. That's bullshit. It's fucker, man. It's just so disgusting. I don't understand it. And the other thing we have to worry about, you see, are his followers. But he'll be gone. But what do we do with these folks?
I really like Elbert's idea of turning them into the Trump brigade and sending them to fight in Yemen.
Well, you know,
I mean, we could do a very limited, select little draft from the membership of the National Rifle Association. Tell them it's time to go and defend freedom.
Let me ask you this, because that's something I just don't understand. We were old enough to remember when there was an assault rifle ban. It's not like this is something new.
Yep.
Why do people act like this is like, oh my God, they're going to take our guns? Like, yeah, we need to take those assault rifles off the street. We're going to give you 6 months to turn them in. And if we catch you with one, first of all, you're going to federal prison. And then when you come out, you're never going to have a shit. Because you'll have such a fine that you'll be, you know, you'll be glad to work at McDonald's.
Well, I'd like
I'm serious.
There's one more Trump clip here that's for the ages.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember within the last couple of weeks when James Mattis went on his book tour?
Mm-hmm.
And people kept asking him, well, you know, when are you going to break your silence, man? When are you going to tell us what really went on? When are you going to tell us how stupid he is? And he had this line.
When the time is right.
No, he had this line he used. He said, I think the president has earned my silence. No, I think the president is deserving of my silence. And I thought that was some serious horse shit on the front end.
Mm-hmm.
But today, I mean, if James Mattis can maintain his silence in the face of what you're about to hear, then James Mattis has no honor, okay?
Results.
How concerned are you about the risk of an all-out war in the Middle East?
I'm not concerned at all.
You don't think that we're a step closer to that?
No, I'm not. Personally, I'm not concerned at all. We have military power, the likes of which the world has never seen. I'm not concerned at all. I'd like to avoid it. You know, when I came here 3 years ago almost, General Mattis told me, sir, we're very low on ammunition. I said, that's a horrible thing to say. I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming anybody. But that's what he told me. Because we were at a position where with a certain country, I won't say which one, we may have had conflict. And he said to me, sir, if you could delay it, because we're very low on ammunition. And I said, you know what, General, I never want to hear that again from another general. No president should ever, ever hear that statement. We're low on ammunition.
Now, Todd,
oh, fuck, that's retarded.
He has an intellectual disability.
Fuck that PC bullshit. That motherfucker's retarded. And I know better. I'm sorry. Yes, he is learned disabled. Yes, he's special. He's exceptional. Because that, you know, that means.
No. You don't have to go all the way to exceptional.
but, okay.
But there's only two ways to analyze that. One, dipshit was about to get us into an all-out shooting war that might roast the planet. And Mattis looked at him and said, sir, and so he really did say, sir, we're dangerously low on ammunition. We don't got no more bullets. And he did it because he knew that Trump was so ineffably stupid that he would buy it. That's vague possibility one.
That's option A. Okay.
Almost near certainty, too, is he never said it. And Trump is, you know, he's being nitwit Nero again and just telling a great big giant whopper of a lie. But this one's going to be a little bit more difficult to prove because it's going to require James Mattis to be a witness. That either yes, it was said, or no, it was not said.
Okay. All right. Do you? I don't know that much about James Mattis or General Mattis. Do you think, though, that he is such an institutionalist that he is unwilling to criticize a sitting president to that degree?
Well, I mean, that's what he said publicly. President Trump is entitled to my silence. Which is right next door to Omerta. I won't break the code of silence because, you know, somebody will come kill me.
So, does he have something on Mattis? Or is Mattis a strict institutionalist?
No, Mattis would like to not wake up with a horse's head in his bed. Because that's the bottom line. I mean, if you've got people exiting the administration who know full well that the country is in dire straits, in dire consequence, and they maintain their silence, that's not government. That's not government by we the people. That's government by the mob, by the code of silence.
Well, see, Bob, I don't know, man. You're pulling up all these rocks that have the bugs that are poisonous under them. Because now, I remember, and you remember if you think hard enough, one of the first things that this mentally old fascist president did was to ask, well, why can't I blow up, you know, I want to use a nuclear bomb somewhere. I want to set one off. And they had to talk him back from that. So then finally they got him a MOAB, the mother of all bombs, to blow up in Afghanistan, which apparently at the time was one of the largest conventional bombs that you could get without being nuclear. He did that. They let him do that. Right. And then, so that appeased him for a little while.
Yeah, what he said was, what's the point in having nukes if you don't get to use them?
If you don't get to use them. You know, like with his little parade thing. It's like, I don't care about the Washington subway. I want these tanks. But, sir, they'll tear the streets up. And, you know, we have the metro, and we're building out to Virginia, and it'll just cause chaos, and people take them. I don't care. I want it. You know.
I like tanks. I do.
What is it going to take? And I'm not convinced that he will not win again. I don't have that much confidence in my fellow Americans. I'm not convinced. 10, 12 points is not enough.
No, especially if people don't get to vote. You know, 2 weeks before.
Well,
Wait a minute.
I'm pissed the fuck off. The 9th district, man, we lost. North Carolina, the 9th district, we lost.
Yeah, and 2 weeks before that election, the Cherokee peoples were talking about how badly they got screwed in 2018, and they were desperate to not let it happen again. And then in the last 24 hours, you know, they've got to redistrict North Carolina, and a Republican senator got caught gerrymandering his own district because the way his district had been redrawn, there were a bunch of Democrats in it, and he was toast. And so he was caught on video going and gerrymandering his own district.
Damn.
And then when he got caught, he said, well, I'm going to retire because I need to spend more time with my family and teach my grandson how to fish.
Okay. he ran away with his tail up in the, okay. Okay. This is recently?
Today.
That's fucked up.
That's a state senator. Let's see. Where's the...
Well, you saw what happened in Charlotte, where
Senator
where,
John Senator John Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it happened last week. Made the announcement Thursday, because last Wednesday he was seen dummying up his own district, making it a safe Republican seat by excising a whole bunch of Democratic voters in the Raleigh area. Ron probably knows this up and down.
Are you playing the clip?
No, there's no clip. But
well, this is what I was going to ask you. So Ron knows this too, because this was on the. I had been keeping up.
Oh, this is okay. this is a big deal in Raleigh.
Yeah. Well, you remember they took a vote at 8:30 in the morning. They said they were going to vote.
Yeah, that was
on a certain
on September 11th. There were not going to be any morning votes, and then when the Democrats didn't show up, they held a vote in a practically empty chamber, and overrode the governor's veto.
Man, these people are just rootless. They have no couth. They have no honor. This is what we're dealing with. Now I'm gonna say something. Maybe people don't know what I'm talking about, but you know, when I was a young person and I used to like to watch, and where I was living, we would always watch the McLaughlin Report, Soul Train, and Tony Brown's Journal. And Tony Brown would have on always some interesting guests. But there was an episode from 1974 that I saw recently that was with Dr. Welsing, who was a black female psychiatrist. And she was debating a Dr. Shockley from Stanford in California. And Shockley is just basically a dressed up white supremacist, you know, like a Murray. He's basically a Charles Murray person. Okay. So Welsing was just making the point that, well, you know, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. And if you really want to go down this road, why is it that most of the time when black folk and white folk or anyone of color have a child with someone that we would call quote unquote white, you know, I don't even like that label anymore because it don't mean shit, but white, that, you know, at some point, maybe not that generation, but the next generation, the child will come out darker, which shows that, you know, there's a dominant gene and a recessive gene. What she was saying is that, you know, this white supremacy nonsense is just rearing its head. It just won't go away. And this is like the preservation. This is what I'm worried about, you see. The courts are being packed. Why do you think they are just hanging on? Brett Kavanaugh is unqualified. He doesn't have the temperament. He's lied. They set him up to be in there. You know, at the cost of a lot of things, we're in trouble. That's why I brought up Judge Taney. Now, I've been doing some research on Taney, and, you know, he's the one where really the first time judicial review had to come into play for Supreme Court.
Well, I mean, he followed up as Chief Justice after John Marshall.
Right.
John Marshall invents pretty much out of whole cloth the concept of judicial review.
And then they had to use it.
Yeah.
Because Taney was so out of bounds.
Well, I mean, Marshall used it too, because when Andrew Jackson wanted to commit genocide against the Indians of the Southeast, Justice Marshall on the Supreme Court ruled against him, ruled the Indian Removal Act unconstitutional, and Jackson's response was to say, Justice Marshall has made him his ruling, now let him enforce it.
Let him enforce it, right.
Because Jackson had a cowed Congress that would not dream of moving to impeach him. But let me back up to the North Carolina gerrymandering thing for a minute, because Darlene in Connecticut said, "Hang on, how does one gerrymander one's own district?" It's all there are in the North Carolina thing is a mess, and everybody's watching, and there are maps that were drawn that are supposed to be used in drawing up the new districts.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way for me to explain this is to suggest that people who want to see this happen go on Twitter and look up John, J-O-H-N, Bisognano, B-I-S-O-G-N-A-N-O, John Bisognano. I don't know what to do with the G in the end.
Pretty phonetic.
J-O-H-N-B-I-S-O-G-N-A-N-O, and you'll find the whole thread there, and it's dead to rights.
That's scary.
And it's not the first time, and it won't be the last. And he's got photos of the senator entering the room. He shows you what the map looked like. He shows the senator sitting down and looking at an edit that shows he's in a more Democratic district. And then, lo and behold, he gets busy cutting and pasting and cuts out a big chunk of the district.
See? All right.
And then he gets up.
That's Exhibit A.
And then on the security camera footage, he gets up and walks away.
So he has full notion of what is going to transpire.
And then when it goes public, he announces that he's going to go and teach his grandson how to fish.
Because he's busted.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Hey, let me interrupt for just 1 minute, because I had a note from Tracy.
Oh,
subject line, $25 challenge. Tracy's Moran Monday Talk Todd and Bob Off the Ledge challenge. You two need to breathe and talk about some happy shit. Yeah, I know there's no such thing. Carry on. But there's Anatole got us down to 190, and if Tracy's challenge is met, that'll get us down to 140.
Come on. You're talking about some real shit here.
This is
North Carolina thing.
Yeah, it is.
No,
real.
This is fucking serious, man. When I saw that shit in Raleigh and I saw the, I don't even know her title, legislator. I guess she's a legislator. And they kept cutting her mic off and she kept going to the next mic that was live. And, you know, there's so much distance between her and the presiding person. He's way up. It's almost like you're in a courtroom. Right. And then her Democratic colleagues get around her because she calls the sergeant at arms and they surround her. They're like, you're not touching her. I think Lawrence O'Donnell covered it, but it was on the local. I mean, it's not that far from me. So, you know, I was just appalled. I mean, this is.
No, the shenanigans are running hot and fast in North Carolina right now. Because Republicans know they got caught. The court found that they did it. They did their gerrymandering to deprive voters
surgical of precision.
Yeah, surgical precision for racist purposes. And so, what is it? In North Carolina in particular, Republicans control 70% of the districts, but they can't get 50% of the vote. That's pretty much prima facie evidence that something is rotten in the state of North Carolina.
Say it again, Bob. I mean, the stats there. Right. Please, that's important. Say that one more time.
70% of the seats, but they can't get half the vote.
So how can you win with those odds against you? How can you win?
Well, it starts by doing the kind of yeoman legwork that this gentleman did and catching the fuckers at it.
But see, that's why we need.
Let's just
like
say
you
Senator Alexander's pinker than me.
we're in for some shit. And, you know, this election is really, this is going to be something because people are entrenched. We're dealing with a cult of personality. We're dealing with a collective mental illness. White supremacy. See, this is about maintaining white supremacy. A lot of this is about people feeling uncomfortable. And wait a minute. And while I'm saying it, you know what I noticed? I didn't even know I had this book. I thought that this economic anxiety was a new term, but I have a book. And I don't know if this is the same Rasmussen that does his fucking right-wing leaning poll, but it's Larry Rasmussen. But the copyright, first of all, it's called Economic Anxiety and the Christian Faith. But the this is a reprint because apparently it was so fucking popular. I'm opening the cover now because I was like, my God, it's from the fucking 70s. Wait a minute. Here it is. It's this is not a new term is what I'm trying to say. Okay. The first print, 1961. Now, I don't know.
Well, that puts it squarely in the same time frame as Richard Hofstadter's The Paranoid Style in American Politics.
Okay. So is that pre or post Lyndon LaRouche?
Pretty much pre.
Okay. But I had no idea that term went back that far. I thought it was something, you know, fairly recent. You know, I'm getting older, but, you know, so recent to me, that could be, you know, 10, 20 years. But so there's a lot we have to deal with right now. But see, I'm sorry, Tracy, but this North Carolina, Tracy, you had to see this to believe it. I mean, it's just unbelievable. They swore. They told the press. The press wasn't even in there. The press was not in the chambers. They said, we're not going to have any votes today because it's 9/11. I mean, that's like being in a sewer with the rats. Well, I have something.
Yeah, and then they turned around and said, well, no, we never said there wouldn't be any votes.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did. Bingo.
They did. I mean, they did. It's documented. But now I guess news doesn't matter. Say it's fake news. See, this is truly Orwellian. We're in some dangerous territory. And you know, we haven't even gotten into where Trump and the fake ass fucking Zionist Netanyahu. They're colluding with Russia, you know, to fix the elections over there. They're like, hey, I want to do that too. You know, I want a piece of that. You know, so we haven't even gotten to that part yet. And remember, you don't hear shit about these counties. We never did find out what counties in Florida where the machines were all fucked up. Remember that?
Sure.
We're not hearing a peep out of that. See, things are not as
well. No, because among other things, we can't get the peeps released. I mean, what is it? We know there are four counties that were straight up hacked now.
That's it, Bob. You said it. Please say it again.
Yeah, four counties, but they won't say who, and they won't say where.
They won't say who. And Santos won't say. Said, well, the law says I can't tell you, so we don't hear anything about it. But I think that's still newsworthy. Four counties. I mean, what if it's Broward County? My God, man. It doesn't matter how many. It doesn't matter if it's a little less Polk County. You know, come on. And when I hear people say, well, Congress is broken. You know, it's really not as broken, but it's broken because of one person. You know, our side of the House has been...
Well, it's broken. No, hold on. It's broken because of one party. Okay.
One party and one person. Mitch McConnell won't bring anything decent to the floor. Even things that both parties have agreed on, he will not bring it to the floor. See, you started this shit, man. I mean, this is terrible.
Well, it only gets worse.
You know that if Mike Pompeo, and you know he graduated first in his class at West Point. If Mike Pompeo's out there saying, "Oh Jesus, I want to blood, there's dead burnt bodies and veins in my teeth, and Iran done it, and they did Colonel Iran in the billiard room with the lead pipe or the drone." Chris Murphy, Democratic Senator of Connecticut, responded, "This is such irresponsible simplification, and it's how we get into dumb wars of choice." And then lays down some truth. But of course, you know that somebody else had to be heard from on this, and that would be America's warmonger in chief. And I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about
no.
I'm talking about from down there at the ancestral estate of Smoldering Chode, from deep beneath the fainting couch.
Oh. Talking about LG.
Yeah, Precious Lindsay. Iran will not stop their misbehavior until the consequences become more real, like attacking their refineries, which will break the regime's back. It is now time for the U.S. to put on the table an attack on Iranian oil refineries if they continue their provocations or increase nuclear enrichment. Somebody get me a julep. I'm all head up here. I'm ready to march off to war. I'm ready for somebody else to march off to war while I sit here being real butch.
He ain't getting nowhere near it. He wants everybody else to go. He wants everybody else's sons and daughters to go.
Come on, y'all. Let's you and them fight.
I want to see it now, just like they did on them slave plantations. You get that big buck over there.
Yep. You know, that sucker, man. I don't know what. Well, you know, he has.
And meanwhile, the last best hope of America, we're supposed to believe, is the doddering old man who tells the corn pop story.
There's so many.
No, the corn pop story. You saw that over the weekend, right?
No, after the break.
Well, apparently the story has some degree of truth in it, but Uncle Joe Biden had a gathering of black folk around him and proceeded to tell his story all about how he knew the trials and tribulations of the black community. Yeah, because last week he did such a magnificent job of tap dancing on his own dick with his record player, Black Folks Don't Know How to Raise Children monologue, that he told the corn pop story. Now, the corn pop story happens in 1962 in Wilmington, Delaware, when Uncle Joe decided that he would, in an effort to, when it went, in 1962, it wasn't even cool, but he was going to try to learn something about the Negroes.
The who?
The Negroes.
I heard of them.
wait a minute, you fucker. I heard of them. and he was going to take him a summer job being the only white lifeguard at a black swimming pool. It don't get any better. Hold on.
You're not even to the punchline.
No, I'm not. I'm going to have to check here and see if I got corn pop handy here.
You know you have it up in there, man. Joe Biden.
Let's see here.
You know, I have confidence he'll put the right people around him, even though he's who he is. He'll get the right people around him. That's all that matters.
Let's see. Corn pop speech.
Joe Biden you know.
That's funny. I put in corn pop speech. My first search result is the hidden health dangers of microwave popcorn.
Oh, well, that can be not. But, wait, well, but you said he was stepping on his dick so bad. His dick is so flat he could take his teeth with it.
Well, yeah. So he's here he is. He's in Wilmington.
Okay.
Corn Pop was a gang member of the day. And he headed up a gang of a gang in Wilmington called the Romans.
Okay.
Now, what's weird is that as improbable as all this sounds, most of it checks out. But it,
you know, Wilmington's only 30 miles south of Philly, right?
Yeah, I know. I know. I found that out when I was driving the length and breadth of Delaware, and it turned out to be the size of Texas, and the map is a great goddamn big lie.
You had me cracking up. You had me cracking up. Oh, I remember that. You had me cracking up. You were like, okay, this is Iowa. All right.
It went on forever. So he got into it bad with Corn Pop. And even if some of the stories, even if the story, the elements of the story are true, the question remains why you need to tell it. And he had to tell it to show that he had some sort of connection to the black community. So just get the hockey puck out and sit back. This is going to take a minute.
Oh, God.
I learned a lot. And I learned that it makes a difference. This was the diving board area. And I was one of the guards, and there weren't a lot of, it was a 3-meter board. And you fell off sideways, you landed on the darn cement.
Yeah, he said, damn. Because, see, he's actually at the swimming pool.
Dark cement?
No, the damn cement. And he changed it to darn cement.
Okay.
Apparently, it was dangerous.
Over there. And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys. And I did, yeah, and backing up.
Pro tip for Joe, don't use the same phraseology as Donald Trump, like bad dude. I mean, it's like the opposite of something out of Ferris Bueller. Oh, Ferris Bueller is a righteous dude.
Those days, you see how things have changed? One of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, hey.
Pomade? Really? So Corn Pop was wearing pomade. We don't know if he was a Dapper Dan or a Fop Man, and maybe wasn't neither one of those. But 1962 is pre-Jerry Curl, isn't it, Todd?
Yeah, he should have just said Murray's.
Okay. Thank you for that cultural moment. This may qualify as lightening it up a little bit for the sake of Tracy. For the sake of Tracy, because yeah, remember, she's got a challenge.
Yeah.
Tracy got a challenge on the
table. I got something funny.
No. Okay, so don't call again because we're going back to the Corn Pop audio, and I can't have that dinging going on.
We're back to that damn that darn cement.
Yeah, and he darn cement, and he's wearing some pomade. And if he's going to wear pomade, you had to wear a bathing cap.
Oh boy.
And you just know that ain't nobody that's running the Romans going to wear no bathing cap.
This is not looking good for Joe.
Oh, this is a hell of a lot worse than the Jets and the Sharks in West Side Story, I'm telling you. I mean, a lot. So, okay, hockey puck in.
Mister, you! Off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off.
Okay, so, please.
That's funny as shit, too, though.
Because, see, there's a fuck-up on the board here, and if you ring Skype, it rings on both machines, and Todd's on Skype, and I can't take the call. And so...
Double the fun.
I'm gonna get through here because this is just too weird not to. All right.
But wait, we've got pomade and we have black males strapping black males, gang members, and a bathing cap. So that's the setup, right?
Right, right. And so he's gonna call Corn Pop a name. All right. Stand by, please.
If you use pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, "Hey, Esther, you off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off."
Calls him Esther. Now, in 2019, what we have to remember is that most people think that he's either calling him Aunt Esther from Sanford and Sons or Esther Roll, who played Florida Evans on Good Times. Neither is correct. He's referring to this bad dude as Esther Williams, a movie star swimmer.
Oh, my God. That's so old.
Yes. It's 1962.
That was old then. Wait, that was old as shit. This dude is always
it's 19. It's
years.
It was 1962 when it happened, and it was 1962 all over again when Joe was telling it.
Oh, shit.
Well, he came off, and he said, "I'll meet you outside." My car, this was mostly, these were all public housing behind it. My car, there was a gate out here. I parked my car outside the gate, and he said, "I'll be waiting for you." He was waiting for three guys in straight razors. Not a joke. There was a guy named Bill Wright, Mouse, the only white guy, and he did all the pools. He was the mechanic. And I said, "What am I going to do?" He said, "Come down here in the basement where mechanics, where all the pool filter is. You know the chain, there used to be a chain that went across the deep end."
Because Corn Pop was going to get all Mac the Knife on him, you understand? You know, because all bad black dudes in 1962 carried a razor in their shoe.
A straight razor. That's a bumpy face fucking circa 1931 Harlem. Esther Williams, that's Cat Turner classic movie shit, man.
So, okay. Meanwhile, the first time that Agnes and I saw this, I'm trying to remember. It was like Saturday morning or something. And Agnes was just going, "What the eternal fuck is he babbling about? I mean, this is shit you hear at the fucking home." Stand by.
Esther!
And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up. He said, "You walk out with that chain. And you walk to the car and say, 'You may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.'" I said, "You kidding me?"
Notice that the crowd noise has stopped being like much of anything, and it's just people just kind of going, "Huh? What? What?"
Right.
You know how the cool kids on social media spell what now? WUT? What?
What?
What? This is that.
Said, "No, if you don't come back." And he was right. So I walked out with the chain. And I walked up to my car. And they had, in those days, you used to remember the straight razor, you'd bang them on the curb, get them rusty, put them in a rain barrel, get them rusty. And I looked at him, but I was smart then. I said, first of all, I said, "When I tell you get off the board, you get off the board, and I'll kick you out again. But I shouldn't have called you Esther Williams. I apologize for that. I apologize, but I didn't know that apology was going to work." He said, "You apologize to me?" I said, "I apologize for that, not for throwing you out, but I apologize for what I said." He said, "Okay," closed the straight razor, and my heart began to beat again.
And see, that shows that Joe knows how to apologize to black people when he has said something deeply offensive to the aforementioned black people. And that you know, it all kind of has a back reference to that shitty little diatribe from the pageant last week.
But Bob, but he was so polite when he said, "You know who was such a clean and articulate Negro."
I know. There are many questions Ron in Raleigh says, "I want to know, was Corn Pop a Dapper Dan or a Fop Man? I prefer Royal Crown Man myself." Yeah.
Oh,
can't stand
I can't get over Esther Williams, though, man. I mean, that's, my God. She's so old. That's when they just started putting chlorine in pools. I mean, damn.
Yeah, that's before. Yeah, when they just started putting chlorine in pools and wouldn't let black folks in them, you know.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, how would he even know? Like, what the? How would you know? First of all, you wouldn't be allowed in the theater where we're showing white women in a bathing suit doing like acrobatics in the pool.
There's so much more to it that we don't have in the clip because, you know, he went on and on. And talked about how popular he was at the pool because most black folks had never talked to a white person before.
Oh, God. You know, so, okay.
And then there's the fact that... That's who he is. And then there's the fact that this is, what, 1962? So what, it's 5, 7, maybe 8 years tops after Emmett Till was found with chains wrapped around him.
Bad reference. Right. So he was in, what was he in? His like mid, no, he was in his 30s, I guess. 20s. Mid-20s, maybe.
No, not late even. Part, no, I mean, he's like a late teenager, early 20s.
So he's using old references then. Right, come on, 62, why can't you bring up some kind of beach music? But like the California movie.
Well, but,
you know,
but see, when my grandmother was 85, she didn't know what happened yesterday, but she could tell you with crystal clear purity about something that happened in 1925.
Right. She couldn't form any new memories. Okay.
Tracy, meanwhile, just sent a single, it's just a subject line, it's not even a message. She just said, please, God, please, God, make it stop.
I have something for you, Tracy. But listen, don't fuck with Tracy. Listen, Tracy is a, look, Tracy, I'm just saying, Tracy's going to be that person on the beach. Like, if someone kicks sand in her face, soon be like, oh, hell no. I mean, Tracy's on her way. And read between the lines. That's what I mean, like, physically fit. I'm just saying. Don't mess with Tracy. But this Biden thing, man, that's just too damn funny. It's just so much. It's so much material there.
Is the place where I have to say, and I'm going to vote for him if he's the nominee. But there is reason to believe. There is reason to believe that he's not going to make it. He can't. It's too much.
He'll be on the bench eating his Jell-O. He's like, yeah, almost made it. It's a strawberry. Oh God, It's painful, man. This shit is getting painful. It's so painful. And, you know, he has too much pride to he's too late in the game to start abusing stimulants like his counterpart. Oh, God. Okay.
And I mean, the worry here is that this is not the guy, and I guess it was supposed to show his street cred, tough credentials, you know, that he's not afraid to go mano a mano with Donald Trump. Because we got that thing where he said, you know, I'd call him out back of the schoolhouse or what the fuck ever. And I don't want to be understood as trashing Joe Biden. Because that is not my intent.
Oh my God. Okay.
But we're not in a place as a country where stories of one's glory days at the Wilmington Pool in 1962 will get us any less divided, especially along lines of race, than we already are. And we are.
But But, Bob, here's the thing, and I had a protective mental mechanism on because the story was so funny until when, just like 30 seconds ago when you started with your last sentence. What he said, that's recent. That's recent. That's fucked up.
Well, I mean, recent, yeah, that's, last week. And then and what he said last week was backed up by an interview he gave to the Washington Post in 2007 when he talked about the reason that Iowa's schools were better than D.C.'s is because Iowa didn't have so many black people.
See,
and that's not me. That's him.
I know. And I'm going to tell you, man, a lot of people, including myself, were avid watchers of AM Joy or listeners on the weekend because she's dynamic and she's a very good interviewer, unlike Chuck Todd. I have seen Joy Reid tell a congressperson, I'm sorry, I'm moving on because you're not answering the question. And the congressperson, they had to look like, you black bitch, you're not going to talk to me like that. And she just moved on. And the dude's jaw just dropped down like a cartoon and hit the desk. His dentures fell out, and it was an ugly sight. And she moved on. And she still has her show, and she still asks hard questions. But, see, it's funny, the Joe Biden story is funny, except, like you said, this is current. That's fucked up. That's, what the fuck, man? That's some bullshit. That's not resonating with... This is what my point is, that there's a whole lot of young voters who are not going for that shit. You know, they like what Warren is saying, and they like what Bernie Sanders is saying, and a couple of other people, and it's splitting up the vote. Meanwhile, on the other side, we have all this corruption and voter suppression.
Yeah, and the Republicans are so well aware of you know what a weak candidate Trump is. They won't even allow primary challenges. So there's three primary challengers.
No challenge.
And they're moving to shut down their own primaries.
Mark Sanford is not. And see, that's the thing. A lot of people forget, or they didn't know. You know, these political parties are like, if you live in a gated community where you have covenants, or like a country club, they have rules. They make the rules, and they will make rules live time. They'll be like, oh, that motherfucker wears sandals on Saturday. Every Saturday I see him wearing sandals. Wow, write that in. I'm sorry, we had pictures of you. We've hired a private detective. You've been wearing sandals, and it's right here in the covenant. You must leave now. See, it's a private club. If you're not on the ballot in every state, you cannot win. Excuse me, I'm getting all whiny, man. This shit is fucked up. All right, so listen. Man, the content that you carry on this program is unbelievable. Now, I've been over to iTunes, and I've seen some really good reviews about your program. So I'm hoping you're drawing in some new listeners.
Sure would be so nice,
but here's
fun. It's such a damn crowded field. I mean, when people have that kind of spaceship money that they can advertise a podcast on primetime cable, you know, breaking through from where we are is going to be a little bit difficult to do. But, you know,
see what happens.
We got a birthday coming up a little bit more than a month from now. And, you know, we're still here. It's a struggle.
Well, birthday's
we're still here.
Can we talk turkey for a second?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, most of us, we're in this tradition, like, if you cook, you know, you get the whole turkey and you stuff it or don't stuff it, but you put it in the oven. And, you know, you hope it cooks right and you baste it and do all this other bullshit. But you know what? Acquire a whole turkey. And the cookers out there know what I'm talking about, because you already possess the right cutlery, like a heavy chef's knife or a cleaver or something of that nature. Carve that turkey up raw into the parts, the breast, the legs, the wings, you know, cut the back out. Put it in the hotel pan. Pick your favorite dry seasoning. But first you spray it with olive oil in the can. and then put your dry seasoning of your choice on it. Heavy on one side, light on the other. Put it in the oven at the appropriate temperature. Let it cook. Halfway through, you flip it. Let it continue to cook. You can clean the house. You can do whatever you got to do. Beat the kids, whatever you do in your off time.
Jesus.
And when you pull it, this is no muss, no fuss. When you pull this thing out, I'm not kidding. And you can bake some potatoes, because remember, when you have the oven on, if you're lucky enough to have an oven, everyone, I mean, I'm not being funny, but everyone, you know, come on, let's be real.
I'm the guy.
I'm just saying, right, so I'm not pulling fingers, I'm just saying. Because when you cut that thing on, you may as well be cooking something else in there, like potatoes or something. So when you pull it out, it's already in pieces, right? You've got your own beautiful lunch meat. Like some people like wings and legs and stuff, but those two breasts, you already have sharp cutlery. That meat, oh my God. People will be like, where'd you get this from? When you start making turkey sandwiches, I mean, I'm telling you, look, and it's hard finding whole turkeys off season, but it is worth the trouble. It cooks faster, it's efficient, and you get that great sandwich. I mean, come on, let's be honest, there's nothing like a nice turkey sandwich.
No. With mayo.
Yes, Tracy, with mayo. We had to, it carries the flavor.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh, and speaking of the mayo, honest to God, man, the Tony's, just a sprinkle of Tony's. You squirt, first of all, when you toast the bread, you want to put the mayo while the bread is still warm.
Right.
Just a little bit. Because something happens when it's warm.
When the heat hits the mayo, the mayo disappears.
It disappears. It's magic. And just a tiniest bit of Tony's on there. And then, you want to cover the whole slice. You have to cover the whole slice, both slices. And you will taste the difference. Because remember, you don't make a sandwich. You build a sandwich. So, I'm sorry, but that's as funny as I can be tonight. Because you just covered it so much.
I discovered something today. I got a bag of those big old bacon potatoes, you know, the biggins,
mm-hmm.
and just scrubbed them a little bit, fired up the griddle,
mm-hmm.
Melted some Kerrygold butter on it.
Ooh, yeah.
And just cut them into like great big thick, almost like super thick, but thicker than potato, but slices. Not cubes, mm-hmm. or chunks or wedges, slices.
Slabs.
Slices. And just laid those slices in that butter on the grill. And threw in a bunch of sliced onion, and some chopped up green pepper, and let them just sizzle, and then turned them and let them sizzle on the other side, and then brought them all together and covered them under a dome and let them steam for a little bit.
Woo!
Serious hillbilly home fries.
That sounds like some football material to me.
I mean,
like watching football and eating that.
Yeah, just I mean. It, put a little ranch on them or hit them with some salt and pepper.
Oh,
hit them with some Tony's. I don't care. Hit them with some Old Bay. But, damn, mm-hmm. they were good. And I went wild over the weekend because we had family in. And like mm-hmm. I said, I discovered how to screw up beef ribs. And I'm not afraid of admitting my mistakes. But the chickens were fantastic. And I just didn't have the patience or the time to cut up the ribs from a whole country style slab, so I got St. Louis style. And
well, they're different. You know, they cook differently than the pork ribs, and they require.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and get them right, but I was.
They get tough.
Well, they go away. There's just so much fat on them that most of them they just go away. I mean, I pulled it out and it looked like something. It looked like something out of Layer 6B at fucking Hisarlik, like, you know, from the ruins of Troy. Oh, look, there's...
You thought you had 10 pounds of ribs.
Son of a bitch, there's Priam's ribs. Goddamn.
Nothing but bones. It's a bone and some smell.
But if you sat there and picked at it, you know, there was some meat in there, but no, I'm going to learn how to do that right. But the ribs came out real good, and I've been experimenting with a crab cake recipe. Agnes is very happy with the crab cakes.
Damn.
And next up, I noticed... I've been begging them at the Wiggling Pig to get them in, but they just can't seem to do it. But I have found packages of pork neck bones, which means that there will be.
Ooh.
You know, when the temperature gets a little, it's going to have to get a little bit colder.
Are you going to boil those down to cook with the ramen?
Yeah, that's going to be my ramen broth.
Okay. Now, and I'm not kidding. Now, have you tried this? The cheap. When I said about this miso flavor.
Yeah.
They're different noodles. They're not the noodles we had in college. They're not. This is. They're different. You know, because they had you know, up their game a little bit. But you know, everybody's noodles are getting better. So your Blackstone is all. I'm just saying Blackstone. I don't know where it is.
But. It is a Blackstone.
Okay. Is it all seasoned in now? And it's all broken in.
Oh yeah, it's perfect. I mean,
man, that's nice.
You know, scrape it, and then pour water on it while it's still blazing hot. Go over it with a paper towel with the scraper, and you've got mm-hmm. and you just wind up with this beautiful, beautiful black cooking surface that nothing sticks to.
Man, I hope you can get a hookup with the propane. That's the next thing I guess.
Well, I mean, I've got propane. I mean, that's, you know, you just take the
man,
you take your blue rhino, you trade in your blue rhino, you bring the new blue rhino back.
Okay.
By the way, Tracy got a note. Ditto, Tracy. Ditto. Make it stop now. Joe Biden knows doggone well he's only there for show at this point. Remember that scene in the movie Airplane where there's a long ass line of people with weapons just waiting their turn? I'm in line just behind Tracy. My weapon is just a lever, you know, as in pull the lever, and the trap door drops. Yeah.
Damn. What is going to become of Joe?
Well, bless his heart. You know, even Obama looked at him and said, "Joe, you don't have to do this," which was probably Obama's way of saying, "Please, Joe, don't do this." But Joe was driven by things that go beyond his old buddy Obama telling him he didn't have to do it, you know, because he's doing it for his son, and you know, and he wishes he'd done it in 2016. And Jesus,
well, it's painful to watch.
But see, that's the other thing, though, Todd. You're in South Carolina, man. David's down there in South Carolina. David sent me a story earlier this evening that mm-hmm. you and I we got off on so many different tangents I didn't get to. But you want to talk about something that'll give you the turtle squirts. Mother Russia assures us that all is well. No worries. Meanwhile, in Russia, there was an explosion at a research center which stores one of the world's largest collection of viruses, including smallpox.
What?
But the Russian government press release says no biohazards were released in an explosion. At a research, not a fire, an explosion. Yeah,
doesn't that mean that
their
that,
nuclear that labs are blowing up, their chemical weapons labs are blowing up? It's no problem in Mother Russia.
Man, what are they doing with their money? It didn't cost them anything to do this electronic meddling. Come on, man, stop stealing so much money. And work about the security, because that's air.
Well, Vlad has to. Vlad and the oligarchs have to keep a lot tucked away in numbered Swiss bank accounts in the Cayman Islands and whatnot, for in case in case anybody ever wises up.
But see, that's
and they got
reason
and they got to take
need
it on the lamb.
Look, man, see, but that's a perfect segue into why we all need health care. We don't live in a bubble. Now, this whole trope about these folks coming in from Central and South America, they have better health care than we do. They're not telling you that on Fox News. You know, they're not coming over here with a whole lot. Did they catch diseases here? Have you seen, and I wanted to ask you this, and I know you got to go, but I mean, I've been getting the Atlantic now. This is my third magazine. I didn't subscribe to it, but I like to read the news thing on my phone if you swipe left. Now, am I inadvertently like subscribing to this magazine? Have you been getting it?
No, I see a lot of stories.
Because they have.
See a lot of stories from the Atlantic, but I don't get their hard copy. Let me go back to this Russia thing, because this is going to creep you the hell out.
That's fucked up. No, that's not happy.
There was an explosion.
Crazy's gonna fuck you up.
Hold, there was an explosion because we got to end on a happy note. There was an explosion at a research center which stores one of the world's largest collections of viruses, including smallpox and Ebola. All glass in the building.
Oh, I didn't hear the Ebola part because I was
Ebola. All glass in the building was shattered, but Russian government says no biohazards released because maybe they weren't kept in glass. Maybe they kept them in a little Tupperware jar, Tupperware bowl. You know, it burps when it's sealed. You know.
Wait a minute. My mouth is like open now. I feel like that congressperson that Joy Reid got read. Listen, there's only a few labs in the world that have smallpox. Like, it was almost eradicated. It's supposed to be under lock and key. Like, you know, nobody's supposed to be fucking with that shit anymore. Am I missing something here?
No. Although Shorty says the Russian government told the truth insofar as all the viruses were, you know, catapulted.
Oh, my God. Oh, does it say what city that this laboratory was
just,
in? I'm just curious.
Just the most basic of information. It's something maybe David will dig around or I'll go looking because that's a little creepy. That'll give Agnes an Excedrin headache, number 363. She worries about things like that. And by the way, Tracy has accused you of betraying the black race. And I'm guessing it's because of your rapid and swift and no qualms whatsoever agreement with me about turkey sandwiches requiring mayonnaise. Tracy may have your black card pulled, man.
Well, you know what? That's a whole lot of pulling, baby.
Well, you can't put. I mean, honest to Jesus, you cannot put mustard on a turkey sandwich.
Why not?
I mean, you're limited. There's basically three condiments. There's mustard, there's mayo, and there's ketchup. And if anybody out there is doing turkey sandwiches with mayo or with mustard or ketchup, I want to hear about it.
Not only does mustard, but it's great football and relish.
Well, yeah, fine, but the mayo's got to be there.
You cannot eat a dry ass turkey. Listen, I will not eat a sandwich without mayo on it. You can't. I can't. Otherwise, what's the point? You don't have a sandwich. You just have some dry ass bread and some meat and cheese. I mean, it's just mayonnaise carries flavor. Mayonnaise.
It's a vehicle, Todd. It's a vehicle.
That's right, like that electric car.
Because it delivers the freight. Yep.
I didn't like when he was in that truck rolling coal. I was singing down there in Charleston. You had that old, you had that GMC. I saw you, Silverado, with them flare wheels and the bad double axle.
Yeah, big old dually and twin stacks and an override chip. You know it.
I saw you. It was chromed up, and I saw you. You picked that up from the dealership, and I was like, rolled around to what they call the bus station. And you put that little color man they call Billy hand, but 3 foot tall. You put him on the back and gave him a little shovel, put a red hat on his head. He said, "Billy, when I say go, you shovel that coal." And he's riding down the road. He said, "Billy, shovel that coal." He said, "Yes." And he's just shoveling.
No.
And then. And you said, "Billy, don't stop." He says, "Oh, Lord, I'm tired." He says, "Shove him, Billy." And that, I'm telling you that. And he ain't but 3 foot tall, and that's why you got him down there. And he said, "Billy, get that hair tight." He says, "Okay." That's a damn shame, man.
You're going to hell.
I don't know why you do it.
And you're trying to take me with you.
Hey, man, I'm so glad you had that. I'm so glad you had that black phone, man. This is the right time of year. Oh my God! Wait a minute. Did you see the Gamecocks in Alabama?
Saw clips.
That man. I don't. Man, nobody can beat Alabama, man. I mean, damn.
Yeah, I don't know. They might stumble.
Anyway.
I hope they don't.
We'll see.
Because you know I'm one victory away from as many victories as I expected the Mountaineers to have. All right, see, the consensus is rolling in. Alexander says, "I'm sorry, I have to agree. I have to have mayo on my turkey and or roast beef sandwiches. I can't eat either one of them dry.
See? I mean, come on, man. You can't. You throw the C's up. You'd be like, you have to go to the hospital and say, what's wrong? Well, I had a sandwich without mayonnaise. Well, it'd never be like slapping you or you going to the mental ward. What the fuck is wrong with you? Come on, man.
It's all dry and it's stuck right down here about my solar plexus and won't go nowhere. Didn't have any mayonnaise. You're gonna have to.
Well, where are you American? Did you grow up in America?
You're gonna have to Heimlich me.
Yeah.
Now, Darlene in Connecticut wants a little clarification. How about mustard and mayo combined? That's okay.
Yeah. That's absolutely. Okay.
But mustard doesn't have the fat. It's about the fat. Mustard doesn't have the fat to carry it along and moisten things up. But mustard and mayonnaise together is just Dijonnaise.
That's it.
But I saw something in the store the other day about me having to call the staff because there's going to be some retching on the floor. Heinz is now purveying to a credulous and unsuspecting public something that they are billing as mayo chup.
What?
Mayo chup.
Okay. What's the chub part?
Chup. Chup. C-H-U-P. Like the last syllable of ketchup. It's mayo and ketchup.
Like you don't have enough fucking sense to mix mayonnaise and ketchup together and make the secret and add a little relish and make the McDonald's secret sauce.
Yeah, at that point in time, it's Thousand Island. No, but mayo chup is for the white folks who think that the goddamn relish just makes it too spicy.
Spicy? Too. All right. First of all, there's no such thing as too spicy, number one. That's only can you handle it. There ain't no such thing as too spicy.
No, there is. There really is. I mean, nothing is seasoned around here unless you are going to a restaurant that, you know, is good. I mean, no. I could take you up to the Wiggling Pig. And we could buy a to-go box of their fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've seen this happen, I brought it home to Agnes, and Agnes isn't one to go, you know, hey, give me the Texas Pete or give me the Crystal Hot Sauce or anything. But even Agnes has eaten that fried chicken from there ain't a lick of salt on it. No black black pepper ain't in the same zip code, and garlic isn't in the same area code. I mean, no seasoning at all. Crispy, crunchy, beautiful fried chicken. Just gorgeous to behold. And you bite into it and you go, you know, there.
Nothing there.
And,
that's
and
awful.
And after the chicken's already been fried, you know, you really can't do much about it.
Mm-mm. Then you have to make up some kind of sauce to dip it into.
See, this is why this is why I grieve that my nearest Popeyes is 100 miles away.
Oh, God. Okay. You know what?
Because the Colonel's 11 herbs and spices, you know, the fire sauce at Taco Bell, I can just...
That ain't no fire.
I can just drink that stuff.
Wait, are you like me? Do you get the handful just to have one just because it's like...
Are you kidding? We got a whole condiments drawer in our kitchen. That shit's vacuum sealed. We got the hot sauce. We got your prepackaged ranch and we collect that stuff. You never know when you're going to...
Wait a minute.
You never know when you're going to need it.
The mild... I'm talking about... All right, let's focus on Taco Bell for one second. The mild, like... How do you call this mild? It's nothing there.
It's tomato. It's thin tomato juice. It's weaker than when you used to. It's weaker than making tomato soup out of ketchup packages.
Oh man, now you're going back to the Depression. I'd be like, I'm sounding like Joe Biden now. I went right away to the automat.
You know, come on. That's some crazy shit. They're still doing that. That's bullshit.
You know, once upon a time, Taco Bell had a salsa verde packet, and that stuff made me happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's gone. It was replaced by Diablo sauce, which, again,
sauce.
Yeah, I can just drink it. It's just the fire sauce with a little squeeze of lime juice in it. It's pathetic.
Yeah, some people can't do hot, but I get that. But it's good for you. You know, it might make you sweat a little bit, like that Coleman's mustard, that dry mustard.
Sitting here doing yuzu shots the whole time we've been talking.
Man, that's what I'm looking for right now, is this Trader Joe's ghost. I'm in the spice cabinet, which is, you don't even want to know how big it is. You don't even want to know, man. I should be in prison for this shit. It is fucking, I got this ghost pepper chili. It's in a canister that's sealed up, and the peppers themselves are sealed up in plastic inside of the canister. It's like maximum security. What the fuck?
There's all kinds of little knickknacks and doodads in this studio, Todd.
Wait, knickknacks, that's a cowbell. Knickknacks and doodads. Come on. That's a cowbell.
Very weak one. But I mean, I have in my hand right now a dried red, beautifully reddish orange cayenne pepper.
Mmm.
And I got two of them, and they just sit in a shot glass. In case just someday I have to have some fire and the yuzu's gone and all the other good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, mm-hmm. in case of emergency, pull pepper pot out and I mean it's drier than Death Valley.
But see, that's good for you. I mean, come on, that's good for your blood. If you notice, hot things grow in the regions of the world where they have these weird diseases that can kill you, like malaria and, you know, different types of blood diseases. And the hot foods strengthen your blood, you know, because they don't want to hang around.
I know they'll run your blood pressure down. If you've got an aquarium tank and a bottle of Crystal hot sauce, you're not going to have high blood pressure.
Crystal hot sauce. And don't be like on the crystal meth like my neighbor. Jesus Christ.
No, it's different crystal. You just sit there and look at the fish, and your blood pressure goes down. then you do a little blast of crystal, and you're just like happy.
Hey, oh my God, I'm not kidding, man. Trader Joe's smoked ghost, because I know you have some folks who live near a civilized store like Trader Joe's. Smoke ghost chilies. I can't read that. It's something blunt, burnt. Hollow. I can't read that because it's in cursive. Doesn't get much hotter. But it's in a canister. It's in a grinder canister that is sealed with plastic. And then inside the jar, the substance itself is in plastic. And it tells you right here to use Oprah inner pouch and carefully deposit the jar. That doesn't make any sense. Replace grinder cap before using. Avoid grinding over steaming pots. That makes sense. Caution, do not touch your eyes after handling these chilies. I mean, the smoke goes chilies.
That sounds fantastic. I just got a notice of, you know, because even though I don't live near one, I can still dream. And I'm sad to say that with the arrival of autumn, white girl pumpkin spice season has arrived. So we'll be beset with that torture for a while. But Trader Joe's has come
with the
up
beer.
With some, Trader Joe's has come up with something that looks kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a salsa that's got chopped up shelled pumpkin seeds in it.
Well, pumpkin seeds are good.
Yeah, they're yummy. Pepita salsa. So somebody needs to try that. But Jesus Christ, they've gone off the deep end. Pumpkin ravioli, pumpkin bisque, sweet potato gnocchi. I mean, please.
You know, the pumpkin is, and I think we talked about this before, but now, once in a while now, they have umami. Transnuzzle Umami in the same style canister that they have the regular spices in when they have. And they're real funny about their product, though, man. Cause, you know, if it doesn't sell or whatever, if they can't get it, they don't have it. So you got to buy when they have it.
Ah, Jesus. But, they got pumpkin rolls with pumpkin icing in a can. They got pumpkin yogurt. Please.
They're going to have pumpkin sourdough, Bob.
There's the pumpkin spice coffee. No, you'll have to have an intervention with me if they introduce pumpkin spice coffee.
Pumpkin spice.
But that pepita salsa looks engaging. Hey, I've run 20 minutes over, man. I got to get out of here.
We're talking about food.
Yeah, it happens.
All right, enjoy your pumpkin spice and
damn you, sir.
I'll see you later.
You take care, Todd.
All right.
Later, man.
Bye now.
Bye now. So that's it. Like I said, ran over a little bit. My apologies. But we finished with $190 to go. There's a $25 challenge on the table, but that'll put us at $390 tomorrow, and shit ton of bills to pay. Still, sorry. I mean, there's just a lot of bills. Some months are worse than others. This is another one of those. August and September, rough. But anyway, there's a $25 challenge on the table, courtesy of Tracy. Tracy's Get Todd and Bob Off the Ledge challenge. And we did. We got off the ledge. Except for the Ebola smallpox thing. So thanks, everybody, and thanks to Anatole for getting us started this evening. Thank you to all of our subscribers. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this ongoing conversation. Thanks for all of your input. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve, and thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.